Blog Talk Radio.
This is Liberty Lisa, and you are calling or listening to Guerrilla Radio. Hey, Austin, just call in on the regular line. I got in as the host on time, so he has computer problems sometimes. Are you there, Austin Thomas?
Yes, I'm there, Lisa. I am so brain dead. I'm like in there. I hit the intro, and then I looked, and you already called in the host. See how brain dead I am today?
Well, you know, all the times that you accuse me of being late, today I had that down, right? You can't say
right.
Anything.
Yeah, I can't call you a dumbass anymore. You've graduated to smartass.
Right. Well, you're a little of both.
Oh snap.
Although, mostly dumbass. I'll go with that.
Oh, geez. You say the nicest things to me. I just feel
I know,
the love.
Right?
Right? I just feel it. I feel it all the way here in Vegas. From Aurora,
I know
Colorado.
It. Well, I actually do love you, Thomas, Austin Thomas. You're awesome. You're a great co-host, and you've been a wonderful friend and support to me through my battle. I just have to say that.
Oh, thanks. I love you too, Lisa. I love the battle. You are my warrior. I am so proud of you and the battle you're fighting. You know I got your back all the way to the end.
Yes, it's crazy, crazy. I mean, we've got quite a case going here, and it just honestly, you know me, I'm a woman of faith, and I credit a lot of it to God. I just feel His hand on it. I feel like I'm on the side of righteousness, you know, to go after corruption. And a lot of people don't realize, that the fight that I'm doing is not just for me, it's for them as well.
That is so true. And a lot of people don't realize it either, but I have a strong faith in God, and God is number one. And I truly believe that God brought us together for some reason. Sometimes I curse Him for it at times, but alas, what am I going to do?
Right?
Right.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, I guess, I don't know. Is that a bless or is it a curse?
It's a blessing. I have to put a little sarcastic twist on it or, you know, it just wouldn't be me.
You're pretty darn sarcastic. So today we have an exciting show going, don't we?
Oh yes, we do. I think that might be our first guest right there is already trying to call in. Why don't you
Tatiana Moroz, I guess is the way to pronounce that. And she's a very famous singer in the Liberty Movement. Like, a lot of people know about her. And she was real big into Ron Paul. And she's got quite a following, so it's really exciting to have her here on Guerrilla Radio. Should we bring her in?
Well, hold on one second. I also want to let everyone know that we're going to have Lorraine Fenton. She's the host of the Super Soldier Summit number 2 here in Henderson, Nevada. And I'm so proud myself and Dave Vanderbeek are going to be introductory speakers at the summit here. So she's going to be joining us around 4:30.
Cool. Cool.
Right on. We've got a great show today. Without further ado, let me give the drum roll for Tatiana.
Hey, we need that. We need AJ to give us a drum roll. Right?
We need to get a drum roll loaded up. These manual ones aren't getting it done.
Yeah, the one that you just did, it's not good. Oh, goodness. Actually, hold on. Let me handle something real quick. You need my keys, right? Okay. My roommate needs my assistance.
What are you doing on the air, woman?
Sorry.
No,
there you go.
All right, I'll be back later.
All right. Cool. All right, so now you have my full attention. I have to, it's raining. It's a thunderstorm outside my room. I'm letting my roommate use my car to go to work because I wouldn't expect someone to walk out in this rain, right?
Right.
Right, so that's
pouring
fine.
Rain.
Pouring rain.
Pouring
Tatiana.
Rain.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Oh,
how are
great.
You?
Oh, I'm actually pretty sick, but other than that, I'm good.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I jinxed myself the other day. I was like, you know, it's a miracle. I haven't been sick in months, and then now I have some sort of a virus. So I was just taking a nap preparing for the show, and now I'm somewhat awake, and I'm here with you guys, but happy to be here with you.
Oh, we're happy to have you.
We're very, very, very happy to have you. Sorry that you're fighting off a little illness there, but real excited to have you here. So, for those who don't know about you and your music, how long have you been around? I know you were involved with the Ron Paul campaign, and, how long have you been producing music? And tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure. Well, I grew up in New Jersey. I would go to Poland every summer, and basically as long as I can remember, I've wanted to sing, and I have been singing. For college, I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston, after which I moved back to New York, and I started working at various recording studios in the city while, trying to make a music career. And then about 2 years ago, I found out about the Ron Paul movement. And I had been somewhat familiar with it back in 2008, although didn't really know about the movement. I sort of just knew about Ron Paul, and I liked him, but there were certain aspects of his platform that I didn't understand. And then in 2011, all that sort of clicked, and I decided, well, they need some music for this, I bet. And I thought it was a really inspiring topic. And my very first Ron Paul-ish event was when I was one of the contest winners in Adam Kokesh's March on Washington, where the veterans, they showed their support for Ron Paul, and I got a chance to sing in front of everybody there. And then since then, it's been a real whirlwind, and with Jordan Page in my corner and a lot of really good friends, I got to perform all over the country last year and this year as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was
well,
a really exciting year.
Yeah. So how many albums do you have out?
I have 2 EPs, a couple singles, and 2 full records. So my first album was Tatiana, which I put out, I don't know, a few years ago. And then last year I put out Love and Liberty, which is probably the one that people in the Liberty Movement are most familiar with, because there's a whole bunch of songs like Masters of War, my cover of Masters of War, and then make a YouTube video and a bunch of others that I wrote when I was inspired by this movement.
Nice. Nice.
Go ahead, Austin.
Well, I was just saying, I put on our link her performance on RT. That was incredible. You have an incredible voice, and your passion really shows.
Oh, well, that's cool. I liked that performance. Yeah, Abby was really sweet to have me on. I had a really good time over there. Although I was a little nervous. That was the biggest TV appearance I did so far. So it was a little intense, but they made me feel really comfortable over there.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. So what's in the works? What's in the future? What's Tatiana got going on?
Well, there's a lot of stuff happening right now. Some things I'm just not able to talk with yet. I'm working with JAG, the new Libertarian Television Network. I should be doing some stuff with them, but that's sort of on the down low. Well, not on the down low. It's just sort of top secret what we're working on, but that's really exciting. And then, you know, at the end of last year, after the Ron Paul movement, you know, after we realized that Ron was not going to get elected and after what we saw happen in Tampa, I noticed that there were a lot of problems that would go on with people throwing events for Liberty, you know, and I wanted to make that a little bit easier. So I thought I would take my music business background and apply it to the Liberty world, and I created a libertarian, although we're not just limited to Liberty people, but of course that's my preference, talent network called, not network, I guess talent agency, called Same Side Entertainment. So basically if you want to have a Liberty event in your state, then you can give us a call, and we represent all the big names. We have Walter Block, we have Tom Woods, Bob Murphy, you know, Adam Kokesh, Luke Radowski, everybody, basically. So I think that that's going to be a really good resource to people. We just launched it a few months ago, so we're still getting the word out about it. But we're pretty happy with how it's going. And, so I'm definitely focusing a lot on Same Side and, of course, doing more gigs coming up for the summer. I invited Lisa the other day to Porkfest, so I'm confirmed to perform there. And there's a lot of really cool events coming up this summer, and I hope to be able to perform at them all.
Wait, I would love
to go with you. I just haven't heard back from my boss on that yet. So as soon as I do, you'll be the first to know.
Yeah, absolutely. I got lucky. I got a hotel in advance, so this way I don't have to camp. Last year it was monsooning out, and I'm sorry, but I don't like sleeping in a puddle. I'll leave that up to the guys and the hippies.
Right. I'm with you on that.
Oh,
totally.
another spoiled one like Lisa.
Yeah, I mean, call me spoiled, whatever. I don't care. I don't want to sleep outside on the ground.
I totally agree. I concur.
Oh, it's a concurrence.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine if you're doing it for a night or something, but if it's more than a night and you don't have somebody who's really good at camping with you, then it just is a nightmare. I don't even own a sleeping bag, so I'd rather sleep in a hotel and then I'll come out and hang out with everybody by their campsites after I wake up and take a shower like a normal person.
I actually went camping with We Are Changed Colorado once, and the first day I got out there was this major rainstorm, and it rained, and it was so bad that one of the trees in the camp, and this is I'm going to say 75 to 100 foot, I mean, it was tall, old, big trunk tree fell over while we were next to our tents, because there was so much moisture in the ground that it just couldn't hold it anymore.
Yeah, see, that's where I would leave. I'd say, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to change locations now. We are changed.
Yeah, and actually, the lady whose tent was, literally, there was a lady whose tent was 5 feet from the occurrence. I mean, she almost got smashed.
Oh,
and,
you guys are lucky nothing bad happened.
Oh, yeah, it was the craziest thing ever. And we're all just looking around like, oh, this is dangerous.
in the middle of the woods here. But yeah, we all stayed and had fun. But yeah, that was quite the little adventure.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, looking back on those sorts of things, but at the time, it really can make you cranky, or at least me. I don't know. I don't like the discomfort. I have maybe a 10-degree range of temperature that I'm willing to put up with, so if you add in a monsoon, you can count me out.
That is so hilarious. I'm like that, too.
See, somebody has to represent the prissy women of Liberty.
Thank you, Tatiana and Lisa.
What was that? The Prissy Women of Liberty?
Exactly. You guys have to keep us in nice warm houses with fuzzy slippers and, you know, just a few basic comforts and we're okay. But, I mean, I don't know about the great outdoors.
I love nature. I'm not going to lie. Like, I love being out there. But, yeah, for me, like, spending the night out there is a totally different thing. It's one thing to camp and hike, or, I mean, to hike and fish and, you know, do a little adventuring. But, yeah, I'm like you on that. But, you know, once in a while I'll try it. I just certainly don't want to try it again when the weather is even remotely cold.
It's not going to be cold at Porkfest, luckily. I mean, it's going to be in June, so it should be pretty warm. But actually, you never know. I guess the nighttime could be a little bit on the cold side.
Where is Porkfest?
Porkfest is up in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
It's Lancaster. Yeah, it's far. It's really far from New Jersey. It's like 8 hours or something, so it's a really long drive.
That's Northeast, baby.
Well, I'm making the commitment, though. I love it up there. I was there last year, and I think it might be my favorite event of the year.
Aw. Can you play Kumbaya right now, Lisa?
No. We don't do that. But me and Jordan had a really good sing-along last year, and people really liked it. And then this year, my friend Gigi Bowman is going to be having a oven where she's going to be making regular cookies, not pot cookies, just regular cookies. And we're going to do, like, tea time with Tata in the afternoons where I'm going to play some music and we'll just sit around eating cookies. I'm sure that other people will probably be smoking weed, but whatever. That's not going to be my thing. I'm going to be performing. What does that even mean,
okay.
Kumbaya? Does anyone know? What does it mean?
Yeah, right. What does it mean?
Well, it's a feel-good. It's a kumbaya story.
But what does it mean? What is kumbaya?
Yeah, what does it mean? Yeah, what does it mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's get together. Together or something. What does kumbaya mean?
I don't know. Hopefully one of the listeners will look it up for us.
Yeah, callers, we need you to call in right now. Let us know what specifically does kumbaya mean. This is the important pressing question of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Call-in number is 347-324-3704. Say hi to Tatiana and educate us a little bit.
You know, good luck. You're going to need it. I'm going to be over here, like, winning.
Dork.
Anyway, so Tatiana, so tell us again what were you have a company that actually, you know, puts together events. Is that how that works, or?
Well, we don't really try and get too involved with the putting together of events because that is a really big job, but we can do that. What we like to try and focus on is giving you packages on different Liberty talent. So I think it's really uncomfortable for people to negotiate. From my experience, I don't like to do it, especially, you know, direct with the event holder because speakers and musicians and all that, we have comedians and everything. We need to make money, but we don't want to, gouge the event holders. And the event holders, they don't want to insult us with the price that they give. So I think it's just easier to have an intermediary. And what you do is you basically go to the website, you say, these are the people I want, get them for me. Here's my budget. And if we can't get you those people, then we can sort of fill it in with less expensive speakers that we feel are also really good and that are willing to do the event, because some people are wealthy from their regular jobs. So it's different from each person. But especially if it's somebody who's not too familiar with Liberty and they just want to get the best people, I mean, we try and be as helpful as possible and make it reasonable for everybody. So the talent gets their piece, but then the event holders don't go completely broke, because that could be a really big problem for people. You know, sometimes people spend all this money on an event and they have, you know, 40 people there, and that's really hard to deal with, because the vendors are not going to keep supporting those events because they're not getting to enough people. So we try and keep people reasonable.
Right. How do they get to the site? Let's plug the site.
It's samesideentertainment.com. I wrote a song about it last year when everybody was all mad because Rand was coming out in support of Mitt Romney and everybody was basically fighting each other. And I put out a song called Same Side, which was about how we're all on the same side. Everybody stop fighting like little kids and let's try and get along here, because there's a bigger picture involved. And I think that this company sort of encompasses that, which is why we try to have all different kinds of speakers. You know, we welcome lefty speakers to participate as well, because we can't keep preaching the message of liberty to the same old people. We need to bring new people in. And if we don't have a dialogue with those other groups, then we're going to let the establishment win when they pitch us against one another, saying, oh, this one's, you know, with all the stupid labels that they have. When in reality, I think that people have a lot of things in common.
That's true. That's what you need to do. I mean, we're here to unite and find common ground. And don't you hate labels, Tatiana?
I mean, you know, sometimes it's helpful or whatever, but I want everybody, and look, I could be grouchy too, but I even posted about it today. Everybody's just fighting online, and it's like if half these people would put a quarter of their energy into something a little bit more productive other than tearing down other libertarians or other people that are obviously concerned about the same issues, I think that we would have a much better country to work with.
Oh, agreed. Well, and that goes to the point, too. I mean, I see it all the time, people posting if you're not for the Second Amendment, then unfriend me. Or if you're not this or that, unfriend me. Aren't these the people that we're trying to correlate and try to you know, encompass and come together with? I mean, instead of this division, the divisiveness. I agree with that.
But the problem is that these are hot button issues. You know. And it's hard not to get frustrated, but just because it's difficult doesn't mean that we should act like five-year-olds and just reduce our behavior toward one another to name-calling and bickering. But, I mean, it's not always easy. I've gotten into a Facebook war or two, but I try and avoid them whenever I can.
Yeah, have you ever done that, Austin?
Oh, yeah, Facebook and Meme Wars. Yeah, we've had a couple of nice meme wars.
What's a meme war?
You know the pictures that have the
memes
on there.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
like,
cool.
Yeah. So
I think the E is silent, but I could be wrong.
What's that?
I think the E is silent, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, I've heard everyone pronounce it differently.
I think
meme sounds kind of cool.
I think we should start a fight over it.
Yeah, let's start a fight whether it's meme or meme.
Yes, I'm going to be really pissed, and I'm going to curse you guys out and wish your mother dead. That's the attitude that you get online.
No,
I've got this one meme or whatever you want to call it that I do for Austin, where it's this little girl, and you look across the street, and there's this building burning on fire, and she just has this evil look in her eyes, like, "Yeah, I did that. Don't make me do it to your home too." And
oh my gosh.
I put on there, "Austin, thanks for coming out to play."
I'm sure
people are like, "Wow, what did he do to you?" Well, actually, I've had some people ask me, "What did
what did he do? They're trying to get the scoop, but Austin and I are just sarcastic. And
Everybody likes a little gossip. I'm not above it, you know, what can I say? But I try, you know, no one's perfect. You're going to get into fights with people, but I think that it's really important these days to try and keep things civil, because I don't think anybody ever won an argument by calling someone an a-hole, you know?
Right.
Right.
And once it's to that point, you can't win. I mean, I've got a couple shills. One of my favorite is this guy goes by Vibe Matters. He like attacks everything I do. And I just play off that, and I use him as a tool so other people can see, you know, how big a shill he really is. That's all. So I mean, you have to use the negative things as tools to gain positive things.
I don't need the drama. Like, Vibe gets on my last nerve, and I've got enough drama in my life, and so it's kind of like, you're a shill, well, go do your shill thing to someone less, you know, informed, and have a nice life.
I don't even think I should call him a shill. I shouldn't even give him that honor. We're going to stick with troll.
Okay. Don't feed the trolls, everybody. Lesson learned.
I like to feed them every once in a while, though. They're entertaining.
Oh, I don't know. I try and avoid it. I'm already irritated enough most of the time because I'm at work. So, yeah, I don't know. I try and keep the level of irritation to a dull roar.
See, I'm the same. Oh, my gosh. If something's bothering me, I'm just like, okay, drama, cut it out. Done.
Yeah. Much easier said than
done,
though.
Yeah.
What's that?
What
sometimes it's much easier said than done.
Why do people love this drama-rama crap? What is it? I don't get it.
I don't know. People are bored. Makes them feel good. Anywho, hey, Lisa, so why don't you fill me in? I bet the audience wants to know what happened with your case, or did you guys already talk about it on Monday or Tuesday?
You know, I did, but just surfacely. So for those of you who don't know, my full name is Lisa Brumfield, and there's an article on me in the Denver Post yesterday, and basically I had a hearing on Monday that was groundbreaking. I ended up getting a temporary restraining order on the sale of my home based on the fact that I wanted my due process, and I brought up the first section of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. I said, you know, no person shall be deprived, you know, of their property without due process. And I said, hey, what's going on here with the Rule 120 hearing here in Colorado? The way they've written the law, well, the original law was already somewhat tough for people to get due process, but they could channel their way through the system. What had happened is that a gentleman named Larry Castle and Robert J. Hopp actually helped draft portions of a bill called House Bill 06-1387. This came into effect, I believe it was 2006, here in Colorado. What happened is they lowered the bar for what the lender needed in order to foreclose. All they really needed was a note from a lawyer, any lawyer, just saying, yeah, it's cool, it's all good, you know, go ahead and take the property. So there's no process, there's no, you know, people could say, wait, there's an outright forgery. Wait, I haven't, you know, they lied. I gave them a payment and they're not registering it. Wait, they told me that, you know, they would take my modified agreement and they took it for a year and then they changed their mind. Wait, there's a robo-signer. Wait, the company I signed it with is no longer in business and they didn't assign it correctly. It doesn't matter what your issue is. You didn't have recourse in Colorado, and being the person that I am, I'm a tenacious little bugger. I sat there and studied until, you know, I was trying to find ways around the Rule 120 and ways to at least present my case and get some due process. And it's just been a battlefield. It's been, you know, one mine after the other, and lots and lots and lots of defeats. And I kept pushing and pressing and pushing and pressing and going forward. And finally, I filed the case into federal court because the state court was not hearing me or listening to me or responding to me. Anyway, long story short, I went to the federal court and tried to get some due process there. And my arguments were solid enough that the judge was like, okay, I see that the Rule 120, you know, may have some real issues here in alignment with the Constitution, and therefore we're going to go ahead and have a full hearing on the matter. So we have a full hearing on the matter on the 15th of this month, which is a short time frame from now. And so I'm putting together a legal team right now because, as you can imagine, a lot of people have come out of the woodwork now that I've done all the work and gotten this opportunity. There are a lot of people out there who've been trying to fight in the legislature and passing bills and just getting, you know, politicians behind them, and it's just been shut down. And so my case was like a huge upset in the state of Colorado because they've been getting away with, you know, practically murder. I mean, it's just, you know, oh, yeah, we're going to foreclose on this person. Let me just sign this note. Yeah, it's okay. Everything's good. The paperwork's good. There's a lawyer out there called Keith Gantemine. He actually came forward and said, hey, you know, and this is public information. I used to work for the firm and signed thousands of those things, and we didn't look at them. You know, we didn't study to see if everything was legit. We just signed them.
You have to reiterate that the point is any attorney can just sign a note stating that it's okay to foreclose. There is absolutely no due process in Colorado. That's tyranny.
Yeah, it is tyranny. And, you know, I've talked to several lawyers, and they're just like, how many cases have made it through the Rule 120 hearing? They're like, two or three. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And so out of, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of foreclosures, people are not given any due process. And on top of that, you know, think of the harm of that, okay? When you're foreclosed on, even if you're late or whatever, let's say you're just late and you try to, you know, catch up with the bank, and they're just like, no, we want your house. You've got to save up money for the move. You've got to pack everything. You've got to relocate. You're humiliated. It's embarrassing. It's a huge traumatic experience. And then take that with somebody who's got issues with their mortgage, and it's not their fault at all. And that's compounded because you know that there's problems, and nobody will listen. Nobody will hear you. Nobody will answer your questions. Well, that's not fair, and that's not the way this country was intended to be. And so my fight is not just about me. And a lot of people are trying to drag my name through the mud and, oh, well, this and, oh, well, that. Well, you know, one of the things in the article said I'm a part-time saleswoman. Well, I had a choice to make. You know, am I going to work full time and lose my house because I have no time to work on this, or am I going to work part time and invest all my time and energy on making this happen? Well, obviously I chose the latter, and it's paid off.
Well, so, I think it's really great what you're doing. It was really inspiring to read that, and I wish you all the luck with it. And it looks like luck is on your side, and so is a self-educational spirit that I think we find with liberty-minded people.
Yes, absolutely. It's all about, you know, critical thinking outside the box, you know, not accepting things as they are and saying, well, it's just the way it is. Saying, no, that's not the way it should be. And, you know, that's, for me, it's a fight of of good versus evil, light versus darkness, righteousness. And some people would think, you know, bad things about me for not making payments on my house or whatever. But, hey, if I truly, honestly do not believe in my heart of hearts that I owe the money to that particular entity, then who am I going to pay? I will pay who I owe. That's integrity. And so that's kind of where I'm at. And, you know, some people are very critical, but I found that in the liberty movement, the truth movement, people have been extremely supportive. They know about corruption. They know about the fact that I'm the little guy. I'm the one that's standing up for all the little guys out here are getting squashed.
Well, you have to break this down to basics. First of all, these mortgage companies, these banks, create this money fractionally out of thin air. They create money out of keystrokes. They take your down payment, and they hold your property as collateral for money they fractionally created. So in essence, it's more profitable for them to collect the insurance and foreclose than to let you pay and end up owning your house.
Well, it's absolutely more profitable for them because first of all, they don't come to the closing table with any money in the first place. They wait till they get your signature, and then they sell your signature. So really, it's done on credit based on your signature. They have no consideration in the game, no skin in the game whatsoever. And a lot of people don't know that. They think that you get a check from the bank for the loan. No, you got a check because they sold your signature.
Wow, that's
which
crazy.
You could do.
They
yeah,
didn't even really
which
sell
you
your
do.
Signature. They use your signature as collateral to fractionally create money from debt or slavery. It's called fractional bank.
Right, and then in addition to that, they'll go and resell it again and again and again and again and put it into trusts and pooling and service agreement. You know, or not pooling and service, but different trusts and you know. Oh, it's a high-risk loan. Let's sell it here. It's a low-risk loan. Let's sell it here. And they'll sell it as much as they can sell it. And then there's a certain time that passes and a certain amount of times they can sell it when that's about all they can do with the property. That's when they want to dump it. They're like, okay, well, we could make a lot more money by getting somebody new in there and starting this whole corrupt system all over again. So
exactly.
A lot of people don't know that. End of it. I do, although that's not really what I'm fighting on in my case. I'm more fighting on the constitutional end of due process. And the great thing is that even if I don't win on this hearing on the 15th, which of course I hope that I do, but if I don't, it still put a crack in the system that's there. I mean, basically, I slid through on a constitutional issue, and other people can as well. It set a precedent that had never been done before here in Colorado. So it's pretty exciting. And if it does go through, it sets a national precedence because this is a federal court. It's quite huge.
It's gigantic.
Well, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Even my non-Liberty friends were pretty impressed. I shared it with a few different people today, and they thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I'm a little scrapper.
Yeah, you are.
As my parents and people who know me really well, they're like, boy, once you sink your teeth into something, you don't let go, do you? You know, it's just who I am.
Oh, I think
well,
you
I
have
just,
to be
I,
that way. Can't let people
I,
walk
I,
all
I
over you.
I described you to one of my friends. I said you had a heart of a lion, but you have, I mean, you have the courage of a lion, but the heart of a lamb.
Aww.
Because you have an awesome, deep, good heart. You really do, Lisa.
Aww.
You
now
do.
I feel like playing Kumbaya.
Oh, see? One more time. Read the people in the back.
No,
go
we're gonna
ahead,
play this
Austin.
One. No, we're gonna play this one.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
You know, that's honestly true. As much stress as I'm under, just the positive comments that I'm seeing on Facebook and the positive comments that I'm seeing on these articles, that's what keeps me going. I know there's a lot of people who are asleep and unaware of what's going on and the fact that I'm fighting for them and the fact that if they lose their job, they could very well be in the same place, and then they won't be judging me so harshly.
You have to realize that half the people in this country are living paycheck to paycheck. And mm-hmm. what if you get terribly sick and you miss 2-3 weeks of work? You could be out on the streets.
Yeah. And, you know, it'd be nice to know that you know, something tragic happens to you, and you know, the bank won't work with you, that at least you have an opportunity in court to explore, you know, the fact that they can even take your property in the first place. And that should be everybody's right, you know, because there are so many fraudulent things going on out there. And I would say probably, you know, the majority of mortgages have major flaws in them. It is our right to question that. I mean, if we sign a contract, a lot of people say, if you sign a contract, you owe the money. Well, correct. But if you sign a contract, which is, that's an interesting thing too, like the other side, they're not signing it, just you are. So it's like a one-sided contract. And in addition to that, what's their consideration in the game? What are they bringing to the table? What are you getting for that? And a lot of people say, well, they loaned you the money. Well, no, they sold your signature. So it's an interesting thing. When you look into it deeper, there's all sorts of corruption at every level. And, you know, really the founding fathers didn't set the thing up like it is now. It wasn't meant to be this way. And people shouldn't have to pay as much as they pay in interest and for as many years as they do. And it's just all set up against us. And, you know, I'm all for the little guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, somebody's got to be for the little guy.
Yeah. Enough of this, you know, everything for the banks and for the big corporations. It's time. It's time that the people stand up and stand for the rights. And one of those rights is your right to own property. And, you know, you have a right to ask questions. You have that right. If you're in a contract, there's two people that are involved in the contract. If you say, okay, that's fine, I'll pay it. Just show me this. Just, you know, produce this. They should have to do that. It should be where it's like, oh, of course, yeah, here it is. There's no problems here. Okay, fine. Then there's no more fight. But it's kind of like anything else I've noticed in activism. Their big thing is ignore, 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 ignore. Even like the fluoride fight. You know, what do they do to fluoride activists over the years? Make fun of them and ignore them. Don't give any kind of, don't pay any attention to them whatsoever.
Right.
And when you own all the mainstream media, you know, that's a game changer. That basically is marginalizing those people and making them disappear. And so we get screwed like that all the time on so many issues. So I'm just trying to create an avenue for at least people to have a voice.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that we need one. I mean, it's pretty obvious that one of the main reasons why we're not as accepted by the mainstream is because all the media is owned by, you know, five companies, I guess.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
And you know, I happen to squeak through into the mainstream media just because there's a reporter out there who actually cares and sees the corruption and he's upset about it. He's been thinking about it for years.
Hmm.
So,
It's a David and Goliath. I don't know if you guys have you ever heard the story about David and Goliath?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bible story. The young kid who knew how to use a slingshot because he used to watch the herds, and he was, you know, that's what he did. He protected the herds from bears and lions with rocks. And, you know, he stood up against this giant that was so big and huge and skilled at warfare, nobody wanted to go near him. And everyone was afraid, and they're all like, oh, what are we going to do? This giant. And I kind of feel it's the same type of battle. You know, everybody's so scared to fight. And hopefully, you know, with my example, more people will stand up and fight for their rights.
I hope so, too. Hey, so what do you guys think about Adam Kokesh's march? That's like a big hot topic in the Liberty world right now. Do you have any opinion on that? Have you heard about it?
Oh, well, I've heard about it, but why don't you share it with our listeners, Tatiana?
Okay, well, Adam Kokesh is one of our artists and or rather speakers, and, you know, I stand behind most of my speakers, but this is a little bit of a... It's a real hot-button issue. I can't 100% say I'm behind it, but I can see why they want to do it. Basically, he wants to lead an armed march against, it's a protest, and it's a peaceful protest, but they will be armed with rifles loaded because D.C. is they don't permit you to open carry there. So it's an act of civil disobedience, and they're planning to basically march through the city on 4th of July in order to put the government on notice that we're not going to be pushed around. A lot of people are very concerned, thinking that this may not be the best thing. There could be a false flag. There could be an agent provocateur. There could be all sorts of different things going on with this. And, of course, no one wants to see any violence. And then, on the other hand, I mean, how long are we going to get pushed around? And if you don't push back now, when is the point when we start pushing back, when they start throwing people in jails? You know, I'm not really sure. What do you guys think?
Well, I am a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. Any amendment, I'm a strict constitutionalist, maybe ultra-conservative in some people's eyes, but I agree wholeheartedly with the march.
Okay.
I think we have to draw the line in the sand. Like one of my favorite people that we just had on, Michael Badnarik. Have you ever seen I Will Not Comply, period, his video, Tatiana?
No, I haven't, but I'll check it out. Maybe the listeners can check it out, too.
He's been on the show a couple times. Awesome guest. He was a 2004 candidate for the Libertarian Party.
Okay.
So, presidential candidate. How far can you let him push? You know, well, it's the old saying, well, yeah, that doesn't affect me, so I didn't do anything. That didn't affect me, I didn't do anything. And next thing you look around, you're by yourself. So how far are you gonna let them trample on our beloved Constitution? How far are you gonna let them go? I think this is a great pushback, but there, part of me is reserved. Because I am scared of an agent provocateur or some type of false flag, it's going to happen. There is no doubt. Something's going to happen, whether real or make-believe. And we know 99.9% of these things are false flags or made-believe.
Right, and that's the thing. I think it does open the door for allowing a false flag and also painting us like a bunch of maniacs. You know, now I'll tell you guys another random side note that I thought was interesting. Austin Peterson is planning another event for the 3rd of July where they're going to do a toy gun march protest in D.C. Now, I wonder if that might not be a little bit more effective. I, in a way, I don't really like that it came after Adam's event. I think he's trying to piggyback on the on the sensationalism of Adam's event. So I'm not really too crazy about that. I almost feel like Austin might be thumbing his nose at him, but maybe not. I do like that event a little bit more because I wonder if you wouldn't be able to lure more people in with that kind of an attitude, with having it be like a fun-spirited reminder of our rights, but maybe not. I'm very torn, you know. I'm not really sure what to make of all of it, but I certainly don't want to see any bloodshed, although I guess at some point that may be necessary. I just don't know if this is the time.
My initial reaction
to the whole thing was, hell yeah, you know, let's just get out there and show the world that we love, you know, our right to bear arms, and we will vehemently defend it. I love that idea. Although maybe it's better, I don't know. The thing that really bothers me is, like you had said, there some sort of false flag happens, and then they use that as a reason to take our rights even more, or create some sort of martial law event out there. You know, it's just, that's the part that scares me about it. But my initial reaction is very supportive of it. Just seems to me like an opportunity for them to do something as well.
Well, that's what they tried to pin the Boston incident at first. The first 10 minutes it happened, they were already trying to make it a Timothy McVeigh type thing, a constitutionalist, one of us, right wing nut jobs, you know. So I foresee them as using this as a tool. I really do. I think there will be a false flag, but hopefully. I mean, I don't know. These people are still going for Tatiana, like this Boston false flag and Sandy Hook. They keep gobbling this stuff up like you know, little kids, 5-year-old kids eating candy. I'm just hoping that there can be a day when they can just the sheeple can just wake up and realize what the hell's going on.
Well, I don't know. Maybe an event like, you know, it could go so many ways. And if people saw the government shooting on people, I think that more people would wake up. But I also think that more people would become more firmly resolved that the gun people are nuts. And they brought this on themselves. I mean, even I thought Lou Rockwell, he was on InfoWars, and I thought that was a really good interview. And he brought up some really good points there. He was saying, you know, we're not the party of violence. We're the party of peace, and we make our point through education. And I don't know if we're at the point where we have to have that armed resistance, but where is that line? And arguably, it's not an armed resistance. It's a protest, and it's supposed to be peaceful.
Right.
Well, it is peaceful. Just because you have a loaded weapon, I mean, there's some idiots out there, but 99.9% of people that own guns treat them with reverence, know what they're capable of doing, and carry and treat firearms properly.
Yeah. Hmm. Yep, it is an interesting question. I am supportive of the idea completely. Just a little bit scared of how it would be used against us. You know, I think we're all echoing the same sentiment here.
Well, the fact that it's being used against us in the first place is an indication that we live in a society that is truly screwed up. So,
wait. There's an understatement. Yeah. It is so bad. Like, and you know what? The more awake you become, the more screwed up you realize it is. It's just like, wow, it goes that deep. Wow, it goes to that level. Wow, you know. And it's just this constant revelation. But it's only available to those who study and research. I mean, everyone else is on the outside mocking. Oh yeah, right. It's you're crazy. You're kooky. You're wacky. Really? How much time have you put into researching that? Zero.
Right.
It's the same thing. Anybody who's out there, huh?
Yeah, it's like, how much time have you really researched? Have you researched 9/11? Have you researched the Gulf of Tonkin incident? These are not new things. There is precedent that our government, yes, listeners, our United States government, in quotations, would pull these false flags to carry out any agenda that they seem fit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's some heavy stuff.
Not everyone in the Liberty movement believes the same things, you know.
Yeah.
And I've found it seems like the people who are, you know, more into Ron Paul and that sort of thing seem to, from what I've noticed anyway, be a little more conservative in their viewpoints of conspiracy theories. Although it's not always true, you know, but as a general rule, they seem to be more involved in the political process itself and still believing that, that'll work. And then there's people who are extremely jaded, you know, and they're on the opposite end of the who are on the opposite end of the spectrum and don't believe in the political process whatsoever and pretty much doesn't believe anything that's being told to us at all. And so there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, it's all about liberty, right? You know, we all have come to different conclusions in our life, but I think we can all agree on certain things that,
Tatiana, a quick question. You saw what happened in Florida with Ron Paul. Do you really, really believe that he had a chance from the very beginning?
No, I think that the whole thing is rigged and it really takes away my ability to believe in the system, period. And,
thank you.
You know, I mean, I'm on the way to anarchy. I don't know what to say. I don't know why anyone wouldn't be on that path, only because it's proven that this government has used the Constitution to basically trample on it. And some of it has not even been that great of a thing. You know, I mean, they also approved of slavery. So there's some things that needed a little bit of help going along. And I think that the evolution of man should provide maybe a better solution to having anyone have a monopoly on force.
Of course.
And I think the free markets will be
That's why we have a constitution. That's why you have to have two-thirds of the states ratify an amendment to said constitution instead of a puppet Obama who thinks he's a dictator just writing executive orders that are all unconstitutional. They're statutes. They're nonsense.
Right, but the point is that they're able to overcome those, and that's the system that we have. Obviously, there's something wrong with the system if people can ignore the Constitution, you know? So I don't know. I mean, and besides that, I think that the ballot box has been rigged for a very long time now, much more so after they bought in the Diebold machines. I mean, this is like at least 10 or 15 years of you know, official ballot box riggings. So I don't know. I think that maybe people can come up with something a little bit better. We've got the internet, but I think that it's also going to require a lot of education. And when you have a public school system that's hell-bent on discouraging critical thought and is interested in giving us propaganda for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and saying sit in your chairs and take your standardized tests and pledge of allegiance and blah, 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 I don't know. I mean, I don't know how people are going to be able to break out of that matrix unless maybe we do have to have some sort of a large event, which I don't know. Maybe that's where we're headed right now.
God, I love you, Tatiana. You are on point, girl.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For a sick person,
absolutely.
I'm not doing too bad.
Well, hey, guys, I think we should probably go to a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, maybe we can play a song of yours.
Cool. That sounds great.
All right. Thanks for holding on and tuning in to FreedomizerRadio.com. We're going to give a little heed to our sponsors here.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it, Silver Leaf Tea.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESP Botanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping. So go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Annabella Semperma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have the right to know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's out of my damn zone.
You have to stand up. Up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solavay.com/freedomizer. That's Solavay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solavay.com/freedomizer.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love my guerrilla radio. This, for the listeners, this is my therapy. This is what I do. I do not get paid for this, but I look at this like I'm instead of paying a therapist, which is, again, more nonsense, this is where I vent and expose things, and this instills integrity, I guess, for lack of a better word, with wonderful guests like Tatiana. Oh, you are wonderful, girl. What a breath of fresh air you are.
Oh, thank you. It's really nice to be able to chat with you guys. I hope I can convince Lisa to join me in Porkfest, and maybe we'll get Stephanie Weeks on there, too. Oh, speaking of which, me and Stephanie are doing a really cool thing in June that I wanted to tell everybody about. We're doing a wellness challenge. So our whole attitude is that, you know, being free also has a lot to do with being free in terms of your body. You know, if you're sick and keeling over and eating McDonald's all day long, you're not really going to be a very effective member of the Liberty team. So we're having a little wellness challenge, and if you go to ourwellnessrevolution.com or samesideentertainment.com or tatianamorose.com, you can find out all about it, and there's a free option where you just get, you know, some affirmations and you could participate, or you could step it up and do the VIP where you get some prizes and you get some different supplements as well. So we're pretty excited. I think everybody wants to get a little bit more svelte before the summertime hits. So we're starting that on June 1st. It's a little late, but better late than never. By August, I think we should be buff, and I guess we're just encouraging everybody to lose 10 pounds in a month.
Well,
yeah.
Well, Liberty Lisa's been encouraging me. I'm eating a lot more organic. I'm smoking a lot less now.
Oh, that's
still
good.
Like Crown Royal every now and then, though, Lisa.
Oh, can I make a recommendation?
Regarding
cigarettes, if that's what you're smoking, I read a really good book a long time ago called The Alan Carr Easy Way to Quit Smoking, and it is fabulous. I recommend it to everybody. So if people are trying to quit smoking, I did that with a combination of hypnosis, and it was really, really effective. So if you want, you know, to read that, it might give you a little extra boost in order to quit smoking. I used to smoke for years, so I was happy when I, now that I no longer smoke, it's really great.
Oh, I'm really, really hooked on these electronic cigarettes now.
Oh, well, check it out. You know, read the book and see if that makes any difference.
What's the name of the book again?
It's Alan Carr, C-A-R-R, The Easy Way to Quit Smoking. And he also has one about alcohol. He's great. I really, really like him a lot. And he's written some really cool stuff. And something about the way that he talks about it really kind of pulls you in, and it works.
Okay, I'll have to investigate.
Yeah, there you go.
he has changed a lot, Tatiana, in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 months that we've, you know, been talking, and I'm really, really proud of him. Like, even I went out to Vegas recently and visited with him, and went shopping for organic food together, and it was fun. And I was like, okay, don't buy this. Here's why. It's a learning process, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just takes a little bit of time and dedication. And in my house, I have a microwave, but it's really a big clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a little poison symbol on it. I literally hot glued it to the front.
Wow. You're serious. You really wanted a reminder. I go for the traditional chicken a bikini on my refrigerator.
That's a good idea, actually. That's one of my goals, too, is to slim down and lose 20 pounds for the summer. So, well, okay, so I've only uploaded 3 of your songs so far. Playing the Cards, Castle to Defend, and Masters of War. Which one would you like to play?
Well, I mean, I love all my songs, but I think that Playing the Cards, you know what, we could do Masters of War if you want. I don't know. Playing the Cards is an anti-war song that I wrote, that I was inspired by a lot of people in the Liberty Movement, and then Castle is from my first record. And then Masters of War, I think everybody knows because it's the Bob Dylan song. So that was the first cover I ever played for the Liberty Movement. That was my breakthrough song, so to speak.
Aww.
Well, let's play your breakthrough song, and we'll get the other two in.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right, cool. So, ladies and gentlemen, Tatiana, how do you pronounce her last name?
Moroz.
Tatiana Moroz, Masters of War.
Come, you masters of war, you that build of God, you that build the death land, you that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls, you that hide behind death, I just want you to know I can see through your mask. You that never done nothing but built to destroy, you play with my world like it's yours. You put a gun in his hand, and you hide from his eyes, and you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. Through the water that runs down my drain, you fasten all the triggers for the others to fire, then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion as young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can never be heard. Fear to bring children into the world. So I threatened my baby, unborn. How much do I know to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young, you might say I'm unlearned, but there's one thing I know, though I'm younger than you, that even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? And I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I will follow your casket on a pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you're lowered down into your deathbed, and I'll stand over your grave till I'm sure.
That's a plus.
Very nice. Very nice. I love it. You have a great range.
Oh, thank you. Awesome. We did that really quickly, too. I was really lucky. My friends from Combat Veterans for Ron Paul, they asked that I do it, and I did that, and I did a version of Knocking on Heaven's Door, and they really appreciated it. So we just went in the studio, did it in a couple hours, and that was it.
Wow.
I'm going to have to listen to your version of Knocking on Heaven's Door, but I've got a special place for Guns N' Roses. They just, like, cover that song amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's sort of similar to that, I guess, except less manly.
Girl
awesome.
Power! Girl power!
Oh, shit. Oh, man, I feel the estrogen flowing.
You really should. You've got two girly girls here chatting it up with you.
Yeah, but I mean they're girly girls, but they're awesome and awake, which is important. I mean, you're girly and girly, but your heads and hearts are in the right place, and that's what it's all about.
You say that as if being girly is a bad thing.
No, I just, you guys, when the shit hits the fan, and if you're out in the woods and you have to eat, tenderloins from a deer on the campfire in the rain, I'm just hoping that you guys are going to be able to muster up enough to make it through and push on through.
Yeah.
I have no problem. If I'm forced in the situation of survival, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, focus on bitching about it. I'm just going to try to focus on living.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Hey, and can we play another Tatiana song?
Sure, let's do it.
Yeah, but before we do, Tatiana, can you go ahead and plug your business that you started up and then also your personal website and the challenge that you were talking about, all that stuff. How do people get a hold of you and look into this?
Okay, well, I'm on Twitter at Queen Tatiana, Facebook, Tatiana Moroz Music. And then, of course, TatianaMoroz.com is my website. YouTube, you could see all sorts of different videos that I've done, which is Forevermore Tatiana. And I guess if people want to, they can go to SameSideEntertainment.com. And for the Wellness Challenge, you can go to any of my sites, or you can go to OurWellnessRevolution.com. And then
cool.
There's also
and then how do you spell your name for people?
Oh, sure. It's TatianaMoroz.
Okay. All right, folks. So get a hold of Tatiana and join in the things that she's doing to change the world. Now we've got
the Liberty Movement. Viva la Liberty. We love
exactly.
Liberty.
Right. We've got Playing the Cards or Castle to Defend. Which should we play next?
I mean, Castle to Defend is more of a regular song, but Playing the Cards is a song that I wrote inspired by people within the movement, by actual veterans that I met. So maybe we'll try that one, and then we'll end on a high note and put a castle on.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. So, ladies and gentlemen, Play in the Cards by Tatiana Mora.
He's a miner, and his daddy builds guitars while he fights the cancer caused by Agent Orange. When his son tried to enlist, Dad said, please don't do this. You should get a job and raise a family. When I heard his story, made me want to cry. out of all the good boys who had gone up and died. So I told them I was sorry and what I said. But he told me he's just playing the cards. He was dead. He's a veteran, and he fights for us to be free. But now he does it with a pen and not a rifle. He's got a baby and a good, strong wife. But he lost most of his years defending oil. But he could hear my song, and it made him want to cry. When he thought of all his good friends who had gone off and died. Though we barely knew each other, I still knew how he felt. But he told me he's just playing the cards. He was dead. There's a dream they like to tell us about the glory of war. But I'm not buying this time, it's not worth fighting for. Cause if you don't end up inside the ground or in pieces on the floor, there's so many nightmares left behind. It's enough to make you lose.
It's a serious topic, and I think that it was important to illustrate that, you know, this is a problem that's going to span over generations. You know, the first friend of mine that I wrote about, you know, his family is still dealing with his father's cancer. So it's not just it's going to affect the soldier. It affects the families generations later. So I think it's important for people to understand the true cost of war, and I think it's a little bit easier to do that by, you know, doing it through song.
That was
deep.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. It's peaceful, you know. It's truthful, and it was peaceful. It was just nice. A lot of times I've seen a lot of, you know, music that's exposing these things, and it's so, you know, angry and loud and, you know?
Yeah, that's not really my, I'm not an angry, loud person, really.
Could be at times.
Well, it depends.
I don't think so, Austin. You're pretty easygoing guy. At least from what I've seen.
I try to keep it mellow inside, but there's things that really, really grind my gears. That's for sure.
Hmm.
But I mean, you know, once in a while I get a good rant, and you come up with some nice rants too once in a while, Lisa.
Yeah, actually, I get really mad. I get mad when people's lives are being harmed. And, you know, recently a gentleman named Ethan came on, and the government was going in and giving him all sorts of fines for things like not vaccinating his chickens. Like, he has chickens, and he didn't want to vaccinate. He didn't want to fill them with mercury and stuff.
Oh,
so
my God.
So they gave him tickets for that. And then they gave him tickets for not using the grass that they told him to use, and tickets for not registering his crops with the Department of Government. I'm like, what? You know, excuse me, this is his land, his business, is what he's doing, and who are they to say that he has to register or license anything? Who are they to say that you have to force vaccinate your animals? I just, you know, I can't believe the amount of control that we have allowed. And, you know, it really made me angry. It made me angry that he lost his home, and he and his family were displaced. And, you know, they had three raids in the middle of the night, armed raids on their home because of them basically resisting all this tyranny.
Oh, well, we know where this tyranny comes from. The other government arm or agency called Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a bunch of marches against Monsanto coming up the 25th.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, they're all over the place. I've got to investigate if we've got something going on here in Vegas.
Oh, cool. Well,
I wish I was Vegas. Jeez. They have that Liberty event down in Vegas. I wanted to play, but I got shut down. They said, no, we're not doing music this year. I was like, thanks, guys.
What?
Aww.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, what can you do? Next year, maybe.
Well,
you guys have a really good population down in Vegas, so I've had a really good time. I have a good friend, Michael TV, he's over there, and I got to play at a Gary Johnson event down there. I should actually give him a call. I owe him one for sure.
Oh, nice. Well,
yeah.
Austin, you should help tell her about the event that you're doing out there.
Yes, and I can segue it into my guest coming in. Yes, myself, Austin Thomas, and David Laurie Vanderbeek, who I pray to God, and I'm rallying behind to be the governor here in 2014, a real man, a real constitutionalist, bring some semblance of order to the chaos here. And I've got my friend who's hosting this event called Super Soldier Summit number 2 here in Henderson, Nevada. That's a suburb of Las Vegas. I think that's her on the 415.
No, I don't know where that is, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, no, that was a hit to Lisa.
I didn't have to drive around.
yeah. Okay, well, Tatiana, maybe Austin, are they looking for singers or anything like that?
I don't know. Why don't you stick around, Tatiana, and we'll see. It's more of like kind of it's kind of X-Files, MK Ultra, you know, how Ubiquitous Society, and how things are basically twisted around. But
okay,
if you want to stick around, Tatiana, I think you'll find Lorraine Newton very interesting. Or Lorraine,
sure,
Fenix,
I can stay on, but not much longer. Honestly, I took my temperature and it's going up a little bit, so I'm not feeling too hot. But I would like to say hi at least for sure.
All right, well, let's bring in 415.
Okay, sounds good.
Hi, everyone. It's Lorraine Fenton here. How are you?
Lorraine, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Austin. Good to hear your voice. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, Austin was just giving an introduction to the event coming up next weekend, and that's the Super Soldiers and Mind Control Summit 2. It's going to be held in Henderson, Nevada, right next door to you guys. Like, you know, we could throw a rock over there. I think, isn't it considered a suburb now?
Yes, Henderson is a suburb of Las Vegas. They consider it a suburb.
Yes, there we go. Because in the old days when I used to drive through there, there was actual hills and desert between the two. And now you look out the window and it's just all buildings. You know, there's no empty space between them anymore.
that's our modern technology filled in the gaps.
It certainly did. I was so shocked when I went there a few years ago to see that there was no little sleepy town of Henderson anymore. It was now part of Las Vegas. So, yeah, pretty fun. So, anyhow, we're going to go ahead and have it on May 17th, 18th, and 19th. It starts at 6 p.m. on Friday night. And I believe that Austin and the future governor of Nevada will be speaking there. Mr. Vanderbeek, is that right?
Right. You got it.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wasn't going to do this, but since the two of you are going to be there on Friday night, I'm going to break out prices for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on the website tonight when I get home from work. I'll break those down for people who are listening that just want to come on Friday and hear our future governor speak about you know, all things X-Filey and at the conference. It'll be quite interesting because, well, I was talking to Austin and I said, can we get him to talk about Area 51? He said, well, he already has. And, you know, Austin, I just don't have the time right now to sit down and listen to all of it, but I'm hoping he'll talk about that a little bit and maybe if he's seen a UFO or, you know, anything like that, kind of like we were talking about the governor of Arizona who brought out the alien and poo-pooed the Phoenix Lights and all that. I'm just wondering what he would do if a triangle craft flew over Las Vegas, you know?
Well, I posted like a four-minute video of him talking about Area 51 on your Facebook wall. I think that pretty much
sells
it out.
Oh, you did? Oh, thank you for that. I'll go and I'll look at that as soon as I get back to work when I'm supposed to be working. I'll be looking at that instead, okay?
Yeah, it's a quickie. It's about 4 minutes. Because
oh,
he does
wonderful.
Some longer ones, shorter ones, and this really is about exposing him. I really am rallying behind this man. He is a true constitutionalist. He knows what's up, and I am pushing so hard for him to be the governor of our state here in Nevada, the Silver State, in 2014.
Oh, wonderful. Now, have you guys, well, you know, I should be talking about the Super Soldier Summit. Then we'll get back to the what I'm going to call him
right.
The Governator for right now.
Yeah, call
Governator. The
Governator. Hey,
so,
hey, guys.
Yeah.
Tatiana's actually not feeling really well. I just wanted to allow her to, you know, gracefully exit and say what she needs to say real quick.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay, well, thanks, everybody. I really appreciate being on the show. I had a great time. And if anyone wants to find out more, they could go to samesideentertainment.com or tatianamorose.com and connect with me on there. And you can find me online everywhere. So just Google my name. And I hope to be on the show again real soon. I had a really great time with you guys. And then hopefully I'll see.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
right,
Tatiana.
Yeah.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye. I know how that feels when you don't feel good, you know, and you're just like, oh.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I've been, oh, gosh, myself sick, pretty sick in the last week. But I'm drinking Airborne and orange juice together, and they seem to be kicking it. So, yeah, I understand that one. Anyhow, so back to the Super Soldier Summit, only because, you guys, I've got to get back to work here in about 20 minutes, so I'm going to push this as fast as I can. So basically we've got 12 experts in the field of mind control, my lab, super soldiers, you know, the past. We're going to cover the past and how it was created. And then we're going to go on into a little bit of the satanic rituals that were involved in a lot of creating this. There's a lot of satanic and Nazi background to all of this mind control that people, I think, are aware of or maybe not aware of. Anyhow, we're going to delve into that a little bit. And then we're going to go into, on Friday night, after the future governor of Nevada speaks, we'll have a short panel. It's a two-hour panel, and I call it short, but it will go by so fast your mind will be blown. I've got six super soldiers that are going to talk about their individual experiences for about 20 minutes each. And that was really the hit of last year's event, because very seldom do these guys ever get on stage and talk about these experiences so personally. They do get on radio. They do quite a few interviews, but mostly they save the personal, confidential things for the summit, because that's where it needs to come out, because we need to know, the other people in the room need to know exactly how deep these rabbit holes really go. And a lot of times people end up at our summit because they're very intrigued by what's going on and want to learn more. But even more so than that, sometimes they find out that they might be involved in these programs as well. So hearing the stories from these other people does help them to come forward themselves a lot of times. So it's kind of it frees a lot of people up to be able to talk about what's going on with them as well at the conference. So that's good. So anyhow, Friday night we're doing that. And then on Saturday night we're also doing the same exact event with six more what I call experiencers. And these are people who have AI communication, they have My Labs recollection, they have what they call like voice-to-skull communication going on. They're like, right, they're being electronically harassed. Wait till you guys hear their stories. I mean, you know, I used to think the super soldiers had it bad, but when I started hearing about these targeted individuals, I broke down and cried. I mean, these people have no peace. Even when they're sleeping, they have no peace. It's absolutely amazing what these people are doing to them. So I added that component this year to this conference. And all day Saturday and all day Sunday, we'll be having the six experts on Saturday and six experts on Sunday speaking about the history, as I mentioned. They'll go into what's going on right now with the different programs that, to the best of their knowledge, because a lot of these people were in the programs but aren't in anymore, and they can only guess as to what's happening. But we do have some in the news. There's a lot of what I call hooks as to how far they've come. For example, the Aurora shooting, we're pretty sure, and I'll say this on air and I'll probably be ridiculed for it, but we're pretty sure that there was not one lone person shooting, not that that kid with the red hair, that, you know, the Batman movie. And I can't remember. Oh, James Holmes. That's right. I get all of them mixed up after a while. There's so many.
Well, yeah, they have so many different Manchurian candidates and players. It's hard to keep them all straight.
It is. I mean, my brain is just overwhelmed by them all. And lately, we've had more than our share. You know, it's like they're popping up every couple months now. So. Anyhow, so James Holmes obviously was not the lone person in that. There's no way. And the blood splatter alone on the outside of the building going down to where the gas mask was left is a, you know, prime example of, you know, are you kidding me? They show that to the American public and we're supposed to, like, pretend it's not there or something. I don't know what they're thinking. But anyhow, so that's how far they've come. They can get a whole group of super soldiers that are being mind controlled to go into a theater, shoot up people. My best guess is there were two others with him, and probably he wasn't even in there at all. He was probably sitting in the car the whole time. And they've been
right where they found him after the fact. It's
exactly
in the kind of theater.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's just an example that we're going to use him, of course, as an example. But there are so many other instances that have been happening in the last year that we're going to examine pretty closely and see if there were more than one shooter or if Manchurian candidates were used in the process or what have you. And then
Sandy Hook?
Yeah, we're covering Sandy Hook too. We're going to cover the Gabby Gifford shooting as well.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. I mean, and not all in like we're going to cover them, but what we're going to do is we'll at least examine the fact that there's more than likely other people involved than the one person they say. And that is the norm for the super soldier program. If they use you for something, you never really go out alone. They do send out lone assassins. They aren't common. More than that, they usually send out teams of 2, 3 and more.
Right.
So just like when they killed President Kennedy. I mean, that wasn't one. That was at least 1, 2, 3, 4. I would say 6 to 7 people involved in that shooting.
Ooh, I like this. Lisa, you have your tinfoil hat on, honey?
Always, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, and then, well, I forgot to even bring this up. We've got all the people coming in that were, several of them were on the Jesse Ventura show. They were in that the mind control one where they were beaming, signals into their homes. Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah, I've seen that one a couple times and posted it a couple times, yes.
Yes.
Have you seen that, Lisa?
You know what? This part of it, the whole false flag, mind control, all that stuff, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but it's all new to me. It's something that once your trust has been cracked and you start seeing all these things they just don't line up. You start becoming more and more open to other, other stories. Now, I also feel like you have to be careful how far you take that. You know, it has to be done with balance. And so, one of the things that I would really adore doing is next time there's a false flag, like fly out to that area and start interviewing people, Just do investigative research and just, get up in people's faces, ring doorbells, find out what the hell really happened, and then talk about it, And that's kind of where I'm heading.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
shit.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, just to give you a little, a little indoctrination about myself here, what happened was... I'm going to finish up before I go on to that. Anyhow, so we're going to have people talking about the different events that have been going on. But the final piece to our puzzle for this conference is the solutions. That's what we're calling it. We're calling it a whole track of solutions. I got 3 or 4 people that are going to be there that are very much a part of the solution process, and they're there to help people who may, have these issues and give them some advice and hopefully send them on their way with some answers that'll help them out. And that's truly what this whole conference is about. It was, it's not a regular conference. It's for people who are curious, want to learn, want to expand their minds, and really, dig into what I call the dirt pile, because this is not a place to go if you're squeamish. Because you're really going to learn some things and your mind is going to be expanded. And, if you go in there thinking, oh, yeah, this is about the JFK assassination or this or that or what have you, or, Hinckley shot so-and-so and whatever, yeah, that's fine. But it's so much deeper than all of that. It's so much beyond that. And we're really going to open up some eyes. So I really hope your audience is curious and excited about the fact that we're going to be there, and it's just going to be a really wild weekend, and I hope they come on out, because besides the governor speaking, our future governor speaking there for Nevada, we're going to have 12 amazing experts. What I was going to say was Robert Duncan, the gentleman that was the last person interviewed on the Mind Control Jesse Ventura show, is one of our expert speakers there as well. and also Douglas Dietrich, who's a pretty regular on Coast to Coast AM,
right.
About Satanism in the military and how they control and create super soldiers out of that program. And we have a woman there that's never spoken before, and I can't attest to her eloquence, but what she has to tell you people will just blow your minds. Her name is Cynthia Brewer, and she this is her story. So, you know, whether it's all true or not is, you know, up for debate, but her story, and I believe it's true, is that they grew a chimera in her hip. And used that DNA from her DNA and the DNA from the chimera, which is a clone basically of animals and human DNA, to start creating a lot of things as far as human and the Human Genome Project goes, and how they're crossbreeding humans and animals. And if people don't think that's going on, well, there's a huge misnomer going on out there, because I know for a fact that there were college campuses and research facilities back in the 70s that actually crossbreeded plant material with animal material. And if they were doing that in the 60s and 70s, they had a plant. You guys are going to love this. They had a plant that was crossbred like an aloe vera plant with a gerbil. And the little gerbil plant would walk around the room, and it had eyeballs on the stems and fur on it. So there you go. And that was documented. So if they were doing that in the 60s and 70s, believe you me, folks, they're doing lots more now.
Oh.
And our favorite buddy, Stu Webb, he's going to Skype in, I think, and he's going to tell us all about what he's learned about what the Chinese and the Americans have in store for us as far as robotic super soldiers. So that's
right.
Going to be quite interesting.
Oh,
and
that's an interesting topic. I've been into the transhumanism a lot.
Yes, yes. So, you know, there's a lot of factors going on here. So I hope if, you know, people really want, you know what I call it? I call it like getting the whole set of X-Files on your DVD, you know, DVD player. And you're going to spend the whole weekend watching it, the whole series, season 1 through season 8. Well, this is what you're going to get at the Super Soldier Summit. It'd be like sitting down for a whole weekend of all the seasons of X-Files. So, so you got to strap in and get ready to go, and you're going to learn an immense amount of material. And we've got to wrap it up, and for Sunday night, we're having two panels. We'll have the expert panel, and we'll have the experiencer panel. And those are just the one we did last year just blew people away. It just really did. So I really hope people come on out for it, and the Governator's going to be there on Friday night. So, you know, we're going to have to check him. We're going to have to check and see if he's a human hybrid or a super soldier or something.
Yeah, you know, we don't know. He's 100% human. He's going to knock your guys' socks off at the summit for sure. He's like no politician I've ever met. And Lorraine, you're going to be on my show Saturday, 6 to 7:30. Pacific Standard Time, and I know you're going to be there. You said you're going to try to get some other people involved?
I am. I already have Melinda Leslie, and I'm trying to gather a couple more troops, and you'll get much more information later tonight or tomorrow morning about that. So that'll be at your disposal, you know, within 24 hours or 12 hours or whatever. And, we'll definitely have a few women on Friday night, maybe a man or two. We'll see. Men are harder to pin down than the women for some reason, but, you know,
well,
we'll do our best.
It'll be like it was today. It'll just be an estrogen thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got about 10 minutes left here. Do you guys go to a break at earlier than 5 o'clock?
Yeah. Well, you got to head back?
No, no. I was going to say, I've got 10 more minutes left that I could tell you guys my story so that I wouldn't have to repeat it too much on Saturday night. But I'd love to tell you now if we could, so our listening audience gets an idea of how how I got involved in all this, because I'm not doing it because I woke up one morning and said, oh, I think it'd be fun to torture myself, you know, and put on a conference where the government doesn't want me to hold it. They're going to hack my computer system down. They're going to get me thrown out of my house that I live in. They're going to break my car. Let's see what else has happened in the last 3 weeks. It's like, you know, every time I try to do this particular conference, my life falls apart. So this is the second one. The first one happened that way, too. Second one's going right along schedule. I was expecting it. Somebody out there doesn't like me doing this. But I can produce 6 other conferences a year that have to do with spirituality and aliens and UFOs and Bigfoot, and they're all happy with that. But the minute I touch super soldiers and mind control, boy, I'll tell you folks, it turns into a battle of wits. And
we were talking the other night, and I told you my feelings on the aliens and things. I believe that this is mind control, MK Ultra, maybe Monarch program. I do believe in those things, and I believe that these people that they really are basically being abducted in their mind. They're being mind controlled.
Sure. Now, I have no problem with agreeing with you on that either, because I've never been abducted. I've never had anything like that happen to me in my paradigm, you know. But, you know, I still look up. I still wait for the day I actually get to see one. That would be nice, but whatever. So anyhow, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 5 minutes right now, and I'm going to just tell you guys my story quickly about how I got involved in all this. Because if you, like I tell everybody, if you'd asked me in September 20th of 2011 if I'd be doing anything around mind control, super soldiers, or anything like that, I would have said, are you kidding? I don't even know what that is. And I just would have said, are you nuts? You know, what planet are you from? So now, of course, I've had a long history of UFO, MUFON. I'm a MUFON person. I've done a lot of listening at conferences about aliens. I go to International UFO Congress. I mean, I am pretty big into all that, even though I've never seen one or experienced an abduction, right? But I always thought it was fun, and it's kind of like a hobby, and I just deal with it that way. And I've always been fascinated by the JFK assassination, though. That's one of my big, big, big bugaboos, because I was alive when it happened, and I remember it distinctly, and it's just always bothered me. So you could say I've been kind of a conspiracy nut as well, but mostly the JFK assassination. So anyhow, so the good part about that, and I preface every time I tell this story that in particular, is that my mind was open enough to actually listen to people when they talk to me. So believe you me, nobody would tell you they're a super soldier if they didn't think you could handle it. You know, it's not one of those things right. They go and talk to people about. So anyhow, what happened is September 22nd, 2011, I went to the Awaken Aware Conference in Los Angeles, Orange County, and I'm there talking to one of the event promoters, and a gentleman is seated on the floor next to this guy and says, he pops up, they're talking about something, I don't remember what it was, and he says to me, I'm a super soldier, and I went, oh, okay. And I had just, I want to preface this with also, I had been talking to a couple of super soldiers there the day before I met this kid that I would possibly be considering putting on a conference for them, because that's what I do, is I put on conferences. And it occurred to me while I was there at the conference on Friday that nobody ever had put on a conference for super soldiers. I mean, I was racking my brains trying to figure out if they had, and I thought, God, that's odd. I wonder why that's never happened. It kind of went in my head and out, and I told one of the two super soldiers that were well-known at the time, I said, you know, if I ever did a conference for you guys, would you like that? Or is that something you guys would even think would happen or be able to happen? Or are there more than two of you? You know, I mean, I didn't really get it in the moment. I was just being very naive, thank God. And they both said, yeah, well, you know, we'd love to have that. That'd be great. So let's kind of talk about it more. And I went, okay, cool. Well, apparently between Friday and Saturday night, Sunday night, this young man had heard that I was possibly considering doing something like this from one of them. And he popped up and said, I'm a super soldier. And I said, well, meet me at my table later. And we did. And he brought a friend with him. And this is where it all started for me. I looked up from the table. We were packing up at Sunday night. We're leaving the conference. I look up from the table. I see this gentleman, and I recognized him. And it was what, you know, those the deja vu moments of recognition where you know this person and you just can't figure out where you know them from. And I the first words out of my mouth were, I know you. And the kid turns out, it wasn't a kid after all. His name was James Rink, and he was 32 years old. He looks like he's like 18, really good-looking young man. And the other gentleman is in his 33 or 34 at the time, with a British accent and dark hair, and his name was Max Spears. And I knew him. And so we all started talking. There was another woman with me at the conference. We all went out to dinner that night. And the more and more they talked about stuff, the more uncomfortable I became. I started not wanting to hear what they had to say. And I found myself tuning out a lot and getting very nervous and just not liking the whole situation. And I'm thinking to myself, well, God, I'm 53 years old, and I've got two good-looking young guys at the table with me. I should be all happy.
Right.
You know, not freaking out and getting nervous here. What's wrong with me, right? And it was pretty funny, actually. They left about 2 or 3 in the morning. I mean, we literally talked for like, 7 hours or something. And they leave, and I go to sleep. I wake up the next morning, and I had, between that stage of waking and being awake, that twilight place, I call it, I had a full-blown flashback. It's the only way I can describe it to people that might even have taken drugs or done something, so they even get what I'm trying to tell them. But I basically had a total remembrance of an incident that happened with me and Max Spears, the taller, darker-haired gentleman. And it was so bizarre, so real, so intense that I thought, I'm dreaming. I realized I wasn't dreaming. I realized I was awake while it was happening. Now, it didn't happen very long. It probably was only a minute at the longest. But within that minute, I got... God, weeks of memories, a full-blown incident that probably took 4 or 5 hours. I got it condensed into a fraction of a second. It was wild. I mean, and that's the only way I can describe it to people. And I will tell you this, it's very personal, very sexual, and very satanic, and it had some Nazi overtones to it. So, and that's all I can talk about it, on the phone or, around people that aren't in the super soldier thing. And I may talk about it more at this summit. I'm finally coming out with a lot of the things that happened because I'm realizing a lot of the other people are starting to as well. So it is as taboo to talk about anymore. So I will be doing that at the summit. I just want to tell people that. So if they want to hear something really intriguing and very crazy, they'll get to hear this there and make up their own minds about how all this works. But
all right.
How did
they get their tickets for the Super Summit?
Rambling, and I shouldn't be doing that, huh? Okay, they can get their tickets at supersoldiersummit.com. That's supersoldiersummit.com. And there you go. So I could go on more, but I'm going to save that for the conference. I may talk a little bit about what happened after that on Saturday night.
And for the listeners, that's Lorraine Fenton, right?
Lorien Fenton, yes. It's L-O-R-I-E-N, just like out of The Hobbit.
F-E-N-T-O-N. And for the listeners, the promos that I put out, the link is there for the website. Check out the website. And Tatiana's website is there, too. So
excellent.
Check them both out. Yep, we'd like to promote our guests. And one more time for the website.
It's Super Soldier Summit.com.
SuperSoldierSummit.com.
Exactly.
And And I'm looking forward to having you guys on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. I can't wait. Got some really amazing people coming on. So, hey, Austin, thanks so much. You guys have
no
a great
problem.
Finish to the show today. I know Stu's coming on. So,
yeah, we got Stu for the last hour. He's going to
chew
it up.
That's fabulous. I love the man. He's great. So, okay, Austin, have a good one. I'll talk to you Saturday. And everybody, we're so looking forward to having the future governor of Nevada at this summit. It's going to be so much fun to have him there. I can't wait to meet him.
I can't wait for you to be there. Thank you so much, Lorraine.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I guess it's commercial time, and then it's time for Stu.
You know what? I actually had us queued up on GRR, not on ads, so it just takes a minute. Oh, there we go. Okay, so let's go ahead and do our commercials and take care of our sponsors, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
With Stu Webb, hopefully. He said he's calling in, so.
Stu Webb.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solave. And Solave is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solave, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solave. You sign up enough people, and Solave pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to solave.com/freedomizer. That's Solave, SOLABEI.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up 3 people under you, you'll get another...
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Hey,
oh, yeah, we're back.
We're back.
That was a great show. That went from Tatiana, got a little X-Files in there. I feel all complete over here.
You know what? I should have pushed the X-Files thing. You know I was dying.
I know you were dying too. I was waiting for it to come.
I should have done it. It would have actually been therapeutic for me.
Well, if you're not busy Saturday night, you can tune into the show and the Unraveling the Matrix. And for the listeners,
I'm gonna probably go with no on that.
Okay. And for the listeners, tomorrow, Liberty Lisa is going to be busy working on her case. So, Guerrilla Radio, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm gonna have my super duper co-host, my friend in Liberty, Lee Pierre the Mouth. He hosts a show here, The Last Voice for Liberty, on Tuesday nights. He's going to join me as a co-host tomorrow for the full 3 hours instead of his usual hour at the end of the show. And we're going to be discussing Lisa's favorite subject, gangsta banksters.
And someone who knows a lot about that is Stu Webb, and he's a well-known whistleblower and one of my favorite people, and he's actually in charge of the last hour of the show, so let's bring him in.
All right, bring on Stu.
And I'm here, and I want to thank you both, and I'm honored to take your show for the next hour. And With that said, I have a special guest tonight, Wednesday, May the 8th, 2013. I have a special guest, and I'm honored to have him on, James Fetzer. He's a columnist of Veterans Today and also a host of his own radio program. And, Jim, what would you like to talk about tonight? The gangster mafia government?
There are so many issues to discuss. I think that the... situation in Syria is particularly stunning, and there's been a recent development brand new today that I believe is going to make a major difference in the Middle East. So that might be a great place to start.
Well, go ahead. Tell me what.
Well, the attack by Israel on Syria, of course, was a complete violation of international law and of the sovereignty of that nation. The Israelis do this regularly with impunity. But in this particular case, it may have some ramifications and consequences they didn't count on. I have observed that this may be an opportunity for Russia or other nations to come to the aid of Syria when it's being subjected to attacks that are in violation of international law. I have been very critical of Barack Obama for observing in relation to Israel that it must do whatever it needs to do to protect its own security without adding the qualification that any such action, of course, must be in accordance with international law, which Obama somehow neglected to emphasize. In addition, he is providing the Israelis with advanced aircraft that have radar suppressing capabilities and refueling tankers as well, which are just the instruments that Benjamin Netanyahu needs to launch an attack on Iran, where I have observed that this is analogous to putting a pedophile in charge of a daycare center. It's completely outrageous. And the third strike, in my opinion, against Obama is that he is condoning the use of drones in Pakistan in violation of that nation's sovereignty and integrity. Indeed, he's even authorized the use of 30,000 drones here in the United States, too, and I'm becoming more and more convinced those drones aren't merely for the purpose of surveillance. Those are going to be predator drones they're going to use against the American people who pose any resistance to a takeover by the Department of Homeland Security, which, as you well know, has gathered a massive pile of 40 caliber hollow point ammunition, over 1.5 billion rounds,
which isn't even permissible in combat under the Hague Convention of 1899, 2,700 light tanks of the kind that we even saw in Boston most recently with the Marathon there, which I believe had as one of its principal objectives getting the American people used to the idea of having American soldiers on American streets, where even Chuck Hagel, our Secretary of Defense, said he was ready to jettison Posse Comitatus, a law that was passed in 1878 to forbid the use of American military forces to perform police functions, and where Mayor Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, who recently was seen denying us the right to have a giant Slurpee, that's something he believes that falls within his purview, announcing in a solemn voice that we may have to take another look at the Constitution. I think the Constitution is just fine, but when I discover that Barack Obama is signing executive orders to overcome the Second Amendment, I become convinced, Stu, that this man is not adhering to his oath to preserve and protect the Constitution of the United States, but instead is subverting it. I regard him now as a man who is a traitor to his nation and who has violated international law and who deserves to be classified as a war criminal.
Well, you could say that because you're an ex-Marine. You were a captain in the Marine Corps, and you're honored, in my opinion. I have been an ex-Marine as well, but I'm in agreement with you. It's out of control. It's out of hand, and these drones, people do not realize how deep this goes, and this is 50 of these Boeing drones. I'm under the understanding they're 2 feet long. They're building 50 a week. It's coming out of the Boeing plant. They can sit over you and hover over you 50,000 feet. They're actually, some of them are solar powered. They just need enough fuel to get off the ground. They can sit up there for an entire week at 50,000 feet over you. And I'm also aware that these drones are all hooked up into this new NSA base out in Utah. That's the reason for all the massive amount of underground and above ground computer space that they have in all these various computer devices that are in there. I know someone that's been inside of it. So with that said, I think
well, all that
stands, problem.
All that stands between Homeland Security and complete domination of this country militarily is 100,000 armed American citizens. And my opinion, Stu, is when they come for our guns, the time has come to use them. The one bright light, ray of light, occurred today in relation to the Middle East, where there was an announcement that Russia will not tolerate further Israeli attacks on Damascus. From Tehran, we get the report that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, while in Shanghai, was given a sharp dressing down by Russian President Vladimir Putin, a warning that Russia would not tolerate further Israeli attacks on Damascus and would respond. Putin did not say how, but he did announce he had ordered the acceleration of highly advanced Russian weapons supplies to Syria. And this is from the Fars News Service, which is highly reliable. Israeli Debka files military sources disclose that the Russian leader was referring to S-300 anti-aircraft systems and nuclear capability 9K-720 Iskander, NATO-named SS-26 Stone Surface missiles, which are precise enough to hit a target in a 5 to 7 meter radius at a distance of 280 kilometers. In his phone call to Netanyahu, I continue to read the report, the Russian leader advised the prime minister to make sure to keep this in mind, since Syrian air defense teams have already trained in Russia on the handling of the S-300 interceptor batteries. They can go into service as soon as they are landed by one of Russia's daily airlifts to Syria. Russian air defense officials will supervise their deployment and prepare them for operation. Moscow is retaliating not just for Israel's air operations against Syria, but in anticipation of the Obama administration's impending decision to send the first U.S. arms shipments to the Syrian rebels. Intelligence agencies in Moscow and the Middle East take it for granted that by the time Washington goes public on this decision, some of the Syrian rebel factions will already be armed with American weapons. That the measure was in the works was signified by the introduction Monday by Chairman of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee Bob Menendez of legislation allowing the U.S. to provide arms and military training to the Syrian rebels. U.S. military instructors have been working with Syrian rebels at training camps in Jordan and Turkey for some months, so putting the arms in their hands only awaited a decision in Washington, the Israeli website alleged. Putin's message to Netanyahu was intended to reach a wider audience than Jerusalem, such as Barack Obama in Washington and President Xi Jinping in Beijing, ahead of Netanyahu's talks there Tuesday. Stu, I regard this as an extremely important development, where I do hope that it's going to bring to a halt all of this effort to destabilize Arab countries for the benefit of Israel.
I'm in agreement with you. Israel's the problem, and they're the problem throughout the world. They're a bunch of Zionist pigs, and they've got control of our government and have had people that are on Armed Services Committee, such as Israeli Senator John McCain, and, of course, Israeli Senator Lieberman. It's no longer there, but there's a House member.
But Lindsey Graham and Dianne Feinstein, alas, are still there, and like McCain, they are senators from Israel, not from the United States.
They all need to be, in my opinion, duct taped. I say buy a $3 roll of duct tape, because you can duct tape a few of them, and they make great nooses as well. And as you're taking them to the gallows, you can put a piece over their mouth as they're yelling and screaming and crying. So, you know, that makes good handcuffs, folks. Because
Stu, I couldn't agree more, and I believe that Vladimir Putin is the only true world statesman on the scene today.
I'm in agreement with you, and I think that the Putin's does not want what Israel's trying to do. And Israel's drug us into two wars. They've drug us into a war in Afghanistan illegally. They drug us into the war in Iraq with Daddy Bush, Bibi Netanyahu, Leonard Melman, Mizell, AIPAC, the whole Israeli stooge. Now, you're probably familiar with the 16 intelligence agencies report that came out last October, I believe it was.
Well, it was actually originally in 2007, Stu, where they concluded among the 16 agencies that Iran was not pursuing a nuclear weapons program, and then they reaffirmed it in 2011, which is really quite remarkable. I mean, how can the U.S. be adopting policies that are at odds with their own intelligence agencies?
Now, in this report, it identified the ones I named, all the Bushes, basically, Daddy Bush, George W., Neil, Jeb, Marvin, Milman, Mizell, Bibi Netanyahu, the AIPAC gang, as all committing treason and sedition, and tied to the Jonathan Powered spy ring case goes way back. To where that they have also been involved in Oklahoma City, the attack there, the attack on 9/11, the false flag attack, and they have been instrumental in the direction that this government has gone in this, and I want to call it the Zionist regime that this country has gone to, where they've done everything to spying on the American people. Stellar Wind that went into effect before it was ever announced. In the various things to take away our freedoms and our liberties and rights, the NDAA now coming for the guns. Now, part of the problem is the overthrow, not only the overthrow of this government in that sense, but also the financial disaster that they've done with these mortgages and these derivatives and writing $100 trillion worth of mortgages and writing, some are saying now it could be as much as $4,500 trillion worth of derivatives they've repackaged and sold worldwide, tied to these banks here in the United States that caused this economic collapse. Now, they're in a box. They're in a big box. Everybody knows it. There's all kinds of fronts on every angle coming at them. And would it be fair to say that Israel is trying to intentionally start this war with Syria and with Iran, which both want peace, and Iran's willing to buy 10,000 Ford, Chevrolet, and Dodge pickup trucks per month from us, or willing to sell us oil for $20 a barrel cheaper than the OPEC nations controlled by Aramco, Daddy Bush's company? Would that be fair to say?
I think it would be fair to say, Stu, and what you're talking about was Saddam's offer to buy 1 million automobiles from Detroit for the next 10 years, and if that weren't enough, make it 20, which he conveyed through Susan Lindauer back to the CIA, where she was the intermediary. She's published about it. I've featured her on this very program discussing it. Imagine where we'd be if we hadn't shelled out trillions of dollars to fight a war that has destabilized the Middle East for the sake of big oil companies, and instead had profited from their buying millions of automobiles from the United States, where automobile purchases have a tremendous multiplier effect throughout the economy. We'd be in a completely different world, Stu.
We would be. We wouldn't have homeless on the streets. They'd have jobs in a Ford or Chevrolet or a GM plant, should we say. It'd take care of the problem. What do you foresee the go down in the Middle East right now? What do you think is going to happen, in your opinion, Jim?
Well, I believe that Putin making this strong stand is going to put the quietus to the U.S. getting involved more deeply in Syria. I believe that any preparations for making a NATO strike, as was done in Libya under completely fabricated pretenses, is not going to come to pass now. I believe that Putin has drawn a red line that is enforceable by Russia and that they will enforce, unlike the red line that Netanyahu tried to bait Obama into adopting, to wit, the use of chemical weapons, where it was obviously a trap, because as soon as Obama declares himself to a red line, Netanyahu can arrange for it to be violated. In fact, there's a brand new report now that is very damaging to the rebels, to the United States and Israel, showing that there has been the use of chemical weapons, but it's been by the rebels. It has not been by the Syrian government. I think the situation is being transformed politically. And what I would like to see for the future is a defensive alliance between Russia, Iran, and China on a par with the NATO arrangement, such that all the European countries joined in a defense alliance where an attack on one was treated as an attack on all. I think if China, Iran, and Russia were to enter into a comparable alliance, that the very idea of attacking Iran would be settled forever diplomatically by that single stroke.
Now, we have friends that were going to Syria this month to make peace without speaking anymore, and in behalf of the United States, to put a halt to this and to put a halt to this crisis that's happening in the Middle East today. And this was all going to be done. Obviously, foreign intelligence here, Syria in particular, I mean Israel in particular, and the crime syndicate, and their control over certain elements inside our government, this criminal element that exists all the way from the administration through the Justice Department, through the military, et cetera, is a problem that we have. Now, I've noticed that Gordon Duff just put up one about Air Force Link's launch codes from the Minot Air Force Base, Ground Zero for annihilation of cult treason. I see that our good secretary, Honorable Patriot Chuck Hagel, and General Dempsey have just removed 17 officers from that nuclear weapons facility. Do you see more coming within, should we say, the cleanup of the of our problem of these treasonous punks inside of these neocons, these Israeli sellouts that are inside our government? Do you see more of this cleanup coming?
Well, I certainly hope so, Stu, and I certainly hope that we're cleaning out the right people. I understand that the previous disappearance of nuclear missiles from Minot was done by some extreme religious cult who wanted to bring about an apocalypse in the Middle East. And I'm just apprehensive that there should be such religiosity in sensitive positions in the American military. It's really completely stunning. But Gordon has his ear close to the ground, and I expect that what he's reporting here is highly accurate, and therefore I believe should be at least generally reassuring.
Okay, there are several stories he's done. I've got them in the left column for those that want to see in particular, because I think I've put up the most important ones. It's up on stuweb.com. You go also to Veterans Today. They're on top of this whole situation, and you will be seeing a lot of stories coming out. I don't agree. There's a couple of them up there I don't totally agree with, but I agree with about 90% of what's coming out there. And they are trying to bring you the truth. They've been given the okay to tell the American people what is truly going on in this country. And I think it's the only mainstream news organization in the country that is telling the truth. Now, we've got a lot of problems here in the United States. We've got these stooges as an example. Chuck Hagel was on all last week, the week before, run around Syria. They used chemical weapons, we think. We're positive. We think they did. They might have, against their own people. At the same time, we had stooges, and I'm going to out them right here and now. We had Glenn Beck and we had Alex Jones doing the same damn thing. They were also doing the same thing. These paid stooges, by combination of DHS and the Mossad, they were being paid to put out disinformation about the Boston bombing. We have the alternative, so-called alternative media that Gordon Duff nailed them in what he called the wing nuts and their information that they're putting out, which are all paid by these neocons to keep continually putting out disinformation to these patriotic Americans that will listen to almost anything at this point that they think is real news. Now, how do you feel about these people? What needs to be done to these people?
Well, they should be taken out and shot, I suppose, too. If there were any justice in this life, we might disagree on some of them. You know, I think Alex may do more good than harm, though he's often, in my opinion, not going far enough or somehow holding back. But, you know, this testimony about the use of Syrian chemical gas, you know, chemical weapons by the Syrian rebels comes from the United Nations, from human rights investigators. Though I can see already that there are attempts by the American government to deflect it. I mean, after all, it's terribly embarrassing and discredits the very cause when they're trying to blame this on Assad, and it doesn't appear to have been his government at all that was performing these acts, just as the early slaughters of villages in Syria was blamed on Assad, but it was actually the rebels who were doing it, gangs of mercenaries who murder people for money. It's completely disgusting, Stu. And I agree with you completely, of course, that sorting out bona fide, accurate information from false and misleading disinformation is quite an art, where veterans today, on the whole, I think, does a pretty good job of accomplishing that goal. But sometimes even I am surprised by an occasional article that appears there.
I'm in agreement with you, and I think that the only thing that people need to do is keep tuned to Veterans Today, your site, my site, a few of these other sites, and they're getting the truth. And I want to move forward because I think that it's fair to say I put up on my website on the 6th of May about Alex Jones, and I'm going to leave him out of it after this, but he made a statement on his radio broadcast on Sunday, the 5th, May the 5th, that said Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel runs Al-Qaeda. And I put up here bull S that he does, and that stating that Secretary of Defense, a true American patriot, Chuck Hagel, runs the Bush crime family Al-Qaeda, is what his words were. But he didn't say Bush crime family. In my opinion, this guy needs to be arrested immediately for putting out.
Well, I certainly agree about the Bush crime families, too. I think there's a history here. If the American people really were aware of everything that the Bush family has done to America, they would appreciate what George Herbert Walker Bush was overheard remarking, namely that if the American people knew what we've done to this country, they'd chase us down the street and string us up.
Chases down the streets and lynches is what he told Sarah McClendon in that 1992 interview on the White House when he was trying to figure out what she wanted. And I remember talking to Sarah during that period of time because she wrote about me and others. But get into what they have done, Jim. For the edification listeners, we have a half an hour. Let's unload.
Well, for those who are unaware, I mean, George Herbert Walker Bush is one of the few who claimed he had no idea where he was when JFK was shot. But the fact is, he was in Dallas, Texas at the time when he was made the director of the CIA. The claim was that he had no previous intelligence service and that it was a remarkable historical event that somebody with no intel background would be put into that position. But we have ample documents and records that he was actually the man on the ground supervising the Bay of Pigs invasion. Two of the ships were rechristened Houston and Barbara. The whole operation was codenamed Operation Zapata, which was the name of the Bush oil drilling company. I believe if, in fact,
yes,
the Bay of Pigs had been successful, Stu, they would have had the concession to drill all over the Caribbean Basin. But we've done more work about George H.W. Bush actually, it appears, supervising one of the assassination teams in Dallas, one that fired three shots from the Dow Tex building. There's really quite remarkable studies about this on Veterans Today. If you go to Veterans Today, Jim Fetzer, you'll find it. But, I mean, you know, it goes on and on, where Bush himself appears to have been a major player behind the scenes in bringing about some of the worst developments in American history. And I dare say, once the assassination of JFK took place, just as Jack Ruby predicted, the country would take a whole different form of government, because now anyone who was serving in the presidency was doing so at the end of a rifle.
I'm in agreement with you about the Dallas thing and Bush. My good friend General Bowen, he's written about in defrauding America. He was a two-star general. He was part of the OSS. He became one of what they call the Brown Shoe Boys. There were 79 up in Kissinger, Bush, him, and others. And I've known two others. One was killed in Las Vegas over standing up in public with me at a speech, and was dead 2 days later after coming public and saying that I was telling 100% of the truth. But these Brown Shoe Boys, General Bowen wrote The Immaculate Deception. I don't know that you were familiar with him, Jim, but
he was
Iran-Contra, and when he decided that he was going to blow down Iran-Contra, when Al Martin, they were trying to kill him and stuff, and in 1986 he landed a Cessna, or not a Cessna, but a Boeing 707 full of cocaine that was from Central America. And he was supposed to land at Homestead Air Force Base, Jeb Bush's drug operation. Instead, he diverted the flight. He went over to Atlanta. He called the FBI, called DEA, Defense Intelligence, and other agencies, friends of his, to be there to confiscate the airplane and arrest him for being taking orders from the president to fly this stuff. And here he is, a two-star general. And, of course, that got hijacked. And instead, when he landed, he got arrested. Three reporters got arrested. Et cetera, and he got hauled to Springfield, Missouri, where they put a needle in him and kept him under codeine needle for 5 years. He was in a coma during that period of time. It's a long story, but something triggered in information from a former Marine colonel that knew him quite well that outed, and the next day he found himself laying in his own bed in his own home, and his wife during the period of time said that she would be assassinated and they would kill him, and she told him where he was at. And he would be there the rest of his life, and she wanted his two-star retirement pay. She just better accept it because it's going to be deposited in his bank account, keep her mouth shut, to keep alive. And that's the story behind Bowen. But Bowen was hauling drugs. Bowen's hiding out in another country now. I've had communication with him like others, many others. And so that's, as he has said, the details about Kennedy in his book, The Immaculate Deception. And, of course, a friend of mine, Tom Hannigan, works with Leo Want and others. He got from French intelligence a picture of Daddy Bush standing in front of the book depository store on his birthday several years ago, and we did a story about it. And it shows him right there in front of the book depository store 6 minutes after the shooting.
I thought I was the first to discover that photograph. Possibly others beat me to it. I found it in Jesse Curry's JFK Assassination Files. It was a paperback published after he left his position as chief of police of Dallas and became the head of security for 7-Eleven stores. It was only sold there. But there's a photograph, yes, of Bush in front of the book depository. There's another photograph showing a man walking past the so-called three tramps who had a distinctive gait, arm, hands, ring, and so forth, who was identified by no less authorities than Fletcher Prouty and Victor Krulak, former commandant of the Marine Corps, as none other than Ed Lansdale, an Air Force general responsible for assassinations all over the world. We have a third photograph, Stu, where Lansdale is waiting to speak to Bush, where it appears that he was really the coordinator of the assassination of JFK, sad to say. We also have the case, of course, of the attempted assassination on Ronald Reagan, and who in the world would have become president had that been a success, where it doesn't appear as though the Patsy Hinckley had anything to do with it, where the Hinckley family, by the way, were close friends of members of the Bush family, and some were even supposed to have dinner together that night, but it appears to have been fired by a Secret Service agent who was shoving Reagan into the limousine to protect him ostensibly, but where the bullet barely missed his heart.
Yeah, so we've got Daddy Bush. I mean, I've got a lot of details, too. So I've talked to Fletcher Prouty before his death. I talked to him way back in the 90s about different events and knew quite a bit, and some of the other people associated with him. But I'm also aware of, are you aware of that French intelligence, for those listening here, there was a French intelligence in living color. Well, there weren't any living color videos back in the 1963 except for intelligence officers, but they were chasing, French intelligence was chasing what they called the Jackal, and because he had made an attempt, him and his group, the Permadex group, had made an attempt on de Gaulle at the time, and they had tracked these three killers to Dallas, Texas. And the French did. They thought they were in Dallas, and they knew Kennedy was going to be there, and they thought they were going to do that. So they had French intelligence officers on the ground. And if you remember, I believe it was 2006 when the story came out by Tom Flacco that put that picture of Bush standing there. I gave him the document for the story of Bush denying he had ever been in the CIA, but yet there was communication from Defense Intelligence from Hoover to Defense Intelligence and to CIA George Bush about the uprising in Cuba, in Miami. They were concerned with it over the Kennedy death the next day. And that was a communication I gave him.
Absolutely right. Yeah, there were communications from J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI, to George Bush of the CIA. Mm-hmm. The agency tried to deflect it by claiming that there was another George Bush who turned out to be a file clerk and would not have been receiving reports about intelligence related to events like this. So that was a very flimsy attempt to excuse him from responsibility. He appears to have had a long history with the CIA and to, I would suspect, be continuing to play a role to this very day.
And then, of course, we have the Clint Murchison of the Dallas Cowboys, junior, but senior, his father, one of the comptrollers for the Bush Crime Syndicate, where Bush attorneys were constantly going up until his death, juniors. And it happens to be that there was this guy named Ted Gunderson, you know, who I'm talking about, was in charge of the Clint Murchison estate and was down in Dallas, Texas. And many of you patriots that may be listening, remember he had a radio show, Infiltrating Patriots, having big parties at the Clint Murchison house, drinking up all the old 100-year-old wine Murchison had in that little cellar down there. There was a gal that was there that he stole $70,000, claiming, "Oh, Anna Mae Newman, let me have that $80,000 retirement that you just got from Murchison. I need 70 grand of it because I have this case over here. I'm going to be paid 200 grand on, and I'm going to be able to break this pedophile ring open." So she was dumb enough to loan him the money that he never paid her back. He ended up having her as his housemaid in Las Vegas, Nevada, in his condominium, and got her Social Security, and she was an illegal alien from Ireland that had never become, it didn't even have a visa. But I sat there and listened to the entire story, showing her various pictures out of the Mafia, CIA, and George Bush that I contributed to a book that had many of these players. And I said, was this guy, she told me the story, that they had this big party on the day before they assassinated Kennedy, the night before, and they were all getting drunk there at the house, including Daddy Bush and others, and Chichi Quantera, and many other people, that a friend of mine chased him, Bill McCloy, to the Canadian border the day afterwards. And he said, "Bill," he says, "what we did," he says, "you will be dead tomorrow if you don't let me go and your entire family." And Bill was the assistant inspector general of the Pentagon at the time that chased him to that border looking for the murders of Kennedy, the murderers. And she sat there and said that Chichi Quantera pointed the picture and says, "Oh, he went by another name, Chichi Rodriguez. He was there. Daddy Bush was there, among many other people." And my understanding was a guy named Gibson involved in the Bay of Pigs. It was Bush's direct boss was the one that gave the orders to murder Kennedy. Now, they were all in the Clint Murchison house. She said the next afternoon, about 1 o'clock p.m. Central Time, right after they murdered him, they're all showing up at the house, partying, laughing as they're coming through the door to turn on the TV as she's having to pour him their drinks and their wine and fix them a meal, and sitting there laughing about him being dead, and said, "Yeah, we finally got the son of a bitch."
Well, I know quite a lot about that meeting the night before the assassination for Madeline Duncan Brown, who was a mistress of Lyndon Johnson. They began an affair in 1948. She bore him a son, Stephen, in 1950, not his only child out of wedlock, but his only male offspring. Madeline, because of her relationship to Lyndon, was invited to this event. It was relatively small by Dallas standards, only a couple of dozen people, but some heavy hitters, such as those you're describing. In particular, she observed that J. Edgar Hoover was there. She believed it was probably in his honor. And, of course, Clyde Tolson, his close personal friend. Richard Nixon was there. He was driven out there by a local Republican leader who worked in the same bank where she was a young advertising executive. George Brown, Brown & Root Heavy Construction, was there. When the Vietnam War went down, Brown & Root was hired to dredge a new port at Cam Ranh Bay, even though Vietnam has many magnificent natural ports, I'm quite sure it wasn't necessary. John J. McCoy, our former High Commissioner to Germany and the former CEO of Chase Manhattan Bank, was there when the Warren Commission was appointed, in fact. Lyndon would make sure that John J. McCloy and Alan Dulles, whom JFK had removed from office for misleading him about the Bay of Pigs, received the two civilian appointments. So you had two senators, John Sherman Cooper and Richard Russell. You had two members of the House, Gerald Ford and Hale Boggs. And then you had two alleged civilians, Alan Dulles and John J. McCloy. And McCloy had actually been there at the ratification meeting, which decided to go forward with the assassination after Lyndon showed up late in the evening. These heavy hitters all disappeared into a boardroom after 15 or 20 minutes. Lyndon strode over to Madeline. She was expecting him to whisper sweet nothings in her ear, and he told her instead in a hateful tone of voice that after tomorrow he wouldn't have to put up with embarrassment from those Kennedy boys any longer. Stu, they had a rendezvous at the Driscoll Hotel on New Year's Eve six weeks later, where Madeline conveyed to Lyndon that there were rumors in Dallas that were rampant at the time that he'd been involved, since no one stood to gain more personally. He blew up at her and told her that the CIA and the oil boys had decided that he had to be taken out. We have confirmation for this from Billy Saul Estes, among others, who made lots of money for Lyndon, John Connally, and their cronies based on scandals involving especially the Department of the Agriculture, who explained that he knew Cliff Carter, who was Lyndon's chief executive assistant, and Malcolm Mac Wallace, Lyndon's personal hitman who murdered a dozen people for Lyndon, including one of his own sisters, that Cliff Carter had been sent by Lyndon down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination. This story has been further corroborated by Barr McClellan in his book Blood, Money, Power. By the way, Billy Saul's book is entitled A Texas Legend. In characteristic modesty, he's referring to himself. Madeline Duncan Brown wrote about it in a book entitled Texas in the Morning, because when she and Lyndon would get out of bed in the morning, Lyndon would throw the windows open and look out the window and say, God, I love Texas in the morning. So she used that as the title for his book. And we get further confirmation even from E. Howard Hunt, who in his final confession published in Rolling Stone to his son, St. John, enumerated the chain of command from Lyndon Johnson to Cord Meyer to David Attlee Phillips to William Harvey to David Sanchez Morales and others, where even Jack Ruby confirmed to reporters when he was trying to persuade Earl Warren to take him back to Washington, where he felt he could tell a full story. And he told Warren that if he didn't do that, he'd think he wouldn't be alive to talk about it any longer, where he explained to the reporters that if someone else had been vice president, this would never have happened. He offered Adlai Stevenson as an example. And when the reporters pressed him, was the responsible guy, the man in power there, Jack Ruby, confirmed it. We have a tremendous amount of evidence, including a new book, by the way, by a fellow named Phil Nelson entitled LBJ, Mastermind of JFK's Assassination, because he was in the position to coordinate the interests of all the most powerful groups, including the CIA. Jack had threatened to shatter the agency into 1,000 pieces. The Joint Chiefs, they were upset because Jack had not invaded Cuba against their unanimous recommendation. He'd gone ahead and signed an above-ground test ban treaty against their unanimous opposition. Now he's going to pull American forces out of Vietnam, where they thought a stand had to be taken against international godless communism. The mafia was upset because Bobby was cracking down on organized crime, bringing more arrests and indictments and convictions than ever in history. Even J. Edgar, who'd been compromised because they had sexual photographs of him with his close personal friend Clyde Tolson, just as just as Hoover had these sexual dossiers on the members of Congress. So he was being controlled and couldn't admit the existence of organized crime, Stu, until the Valachi hearings, when it was described in such detail it could no longer be denied. All the bankers were upset because they had instructed the Department of the Treasury to print United States notes, believing that it was absurd that the United States should be paying a private consortium of banks interest for publishing its own money. I remember holding one of those bills in my hand as a young Marine Corps officer at a red embossed imprint and said United States notes.
And they were $2 and $5 silver certificates. I have one.
Very good, Stu. And, of course, the oil boys were upset because Jack was threatening to cut the oil depletion allowance, which was a fantastic tax write-off. they got on the basis of the claim that they, since oil was a finite resource, by pumping it out of the ground, they were putting themselves out of business. In fact, the oil boys appear to have played a very important role, just as Lyndon told Madeline. But the fact of the matter is that LBJ forced himself onto the ticket in Los Angeles in 1960. Jack had already extended an invitation to Stuart Symington of Missouri to run with him as his vice presidential nominee, but gave him the night to think about it. Meanwhile, Bobby went to LBJ's suite and extended what he thought was merely a pro forma invitation. LBJ leaped on it, and when he tried to get out of it, he threatened Bobby that if he weren't on the ticket, that he'd expose that among Jack's dalliances was one with a beautiful woman who turned out to be an East German spy, that he had Addison's disease and therefore wasn't expected to live a long life, and that as if he were not on the ticket as majority leader, he'd bottle up any legislation sent down by the White House, which would be dead on arrival. Bobby and Jack tried to figure a way out of it, but there was nothing they could do about it, and they simply hoped this story would not become widely known.
And we had Alan Dulles covered up by the Warren Commission, and Ford was on it. And then we had Cord Myers. I might add about him because I know all about him. He was Bill Clinton's handler when he was at Oxford, when he went over and stole the Khrushchev memoirs with two others. I did a story on it a long time ago. And we also have, that was basically, you got your ducks in a row on this one, I guarantee
you. That's fantastic. That's fantastic, Sue, because Peter Jenny has published a wonderful book called Mary's Mosaic about JFK's relationship with Mary Meyer, who was the former wife of Gord Meyer.
Yes.
You know, where they had a very intimate and positive relationship. And
yes,
she had a constructive role on turning him into a statesman for peace. But when the CIA assassinated her because they were worried about a diary she had that might have revealed secrets. And if you read Peter Janney's book, he shows exactly a textbook case of how assassinations are conducting, setting up patsies, drawing innocent witnesses into view, you know, fakes for the actual suspect. I mean, it's a fascinating book.
Yes, you're very correct about that, because that was in the Clinton story. It's under archives. It says Clinton CIA, Bill Clinton CIA, under my archives at the top. There's a story.
Sue, I don't know if you've ever read this book by Kathy O'Brien.
No, I have. I know Kathy. I've met with her and Mark Phillips. I had
Transformation of America. It's all about the creation of a sexual slave ring that was being exploited by the highest-ranking politicians in the country.
Yeah, well, we can touch on that for a minute. We've got the Brownstone that, ironically, George Pinder and Ted Gunderson were doing. And then when John DeCamp was defending, and, of course, he was agency, and he came out with his Franklin book. They did that to limit the liability to Omaha instead of the fact that a reporter who has all the evidence is still alive, that I know, that her publication spent over $500,000, almost $1 million, actually, in a two-year period of time, that they were taking kids from orphanages. Every orphanage in the country was invited to the White House, and Daddy Bush would be standing in line as the kids were being churned through there, and Dick Cheney and Sununu and others, and they would pick out the kids that they wanted to take to the sex parties that particular week to put the voodoo drug in the drinks of congressmen and senators, and then Daddy was around the corner with the kids as soon as they got voodooed up, should we say. He came in and started pulling down his pants and started doing the kids in front of him, and they joined in because they were on the voodoo drug. And he had the camera sitting there with I forgot the kid's name that was tied to Franklin, and I've met him as well and know his whole thing because I helped him get out of predicament Nebraska he was in here about 6 years ago. And a certain movie star's dad, quite famous, that made a movie about Christ, Mel Gibson, his dad paid the attorney fees to get the kid out to keep him from being hung, where Gunderson and George Pinder boys were in there trying to frame him up and get rid of him for once and for all. But I'm familiar with that. I'm also familiar with, and I might add, is Jack Abramoff, because I gave the evidence to Carol Lamb. And then we did stories later with Tom Flacco and Tom Hennigan and I. We did stories on Jack Abramoff running the sex whorehouses to compromise on that Dusty Fogle case, where they were compromising congressmen and senators on key committees that had to give the okay on contracts with the Pentagon and the CIA and so forth. And they were doing the same damn thing. And then, of course, you go to Brownstone. You go to the there's documents about the finders up on my site. You can find them on archives, finders. There's no names blocked out like everybody was blocking out, passing around. It says right there the customs agents to stop a whole load of kids going to Mexico. And these poor kids, some little 8-year-old girl says, they're asking her, well, where are they taking you? Oh, they're taking us to a smart school in Mexico. And then we move further. Well, Gordon Duff and Mike Harris have revealed, and Gordon did in an interview with me, about my former father-in-law, Leonard Melman, and Larry Mizell, and the APEC boys, and that newspaper down there running pedophilia ring out of Arizona. And Mike's quite aware of that. I believe he got this buddy of his killed down there. So it just keeps going on. Isn't that true, Jim?
Well, Stu, you know, until I began reading Kathy O'Brien's book, Transformation of America, I might not have believed this, but what she reports is so detailed, so specific, and is so consistent with what you've just been reporting now. I happen to believe that she has actually pulled back the veil from a whole sordid aspect of American government that has involved many of our most prominent politicians. It is, to me, completely appalling, Stu.
It is appalling. It's these people are pedophiles. They're Satanists at the highest levels. I mean, you take the Dick Cheney hunting trips. I can tell you about people in Secret Service that were guarding George Bush when he was president of the United States. Some people have reported it's the Bohemian Grove Club. Well, no, it isn't. It's in Gresham, Oregon, at Isley's house. That was Isley, the brokerage firm out of Las Vegas, Nevada, called Isley Wedbush Brokerage Firm, that laundered the money into 911 payments through the Waymark Foundation that Melman owned. That was all tied up in this. But they used to have the hunting trips up there in Gresham, Oregon, at the Isley Nursery. Check out Isley. You're gonna really like this one, Jim, because that was where Dick Cheney used to take his pants off, run around naked in front of everybody with a shotgun in hand, and they'd chase these little kids down. Sometimes the kids got killed, and sometimes the kids survived after they had sex with the kids. They'd get all coked up or shoot heroin, the two of them. Cheney and Bush both, and still to this day, according to what I hear, that Daddy Bush is still shooting heroin, still drinks his fifth of Black Jack each day, and stays stoned and drunk all the time. And he's 80-some-odd years of age, this punk. Whatever he's made of, I don't know.
And he's probably still practicing pedophilia.
Probably.
Just shocking. I mean, it's just shocking, the stories about Senator Robert Byrd and Gerald Ford and George Herbert Walker Bush and even Ronald Reagan and a host of others. It's some really creepy stories, too, and I wish I could tell you I don't believe it, but that's not the situation.
Yeah, I know. It's for real. It's, you know, everybody thinks the Brownstone and the Franklin were all covered, connected together, and really who blew that out was the Washington Times. Jerry Sieper with the Washington Times, and Daddy Bush was sending everybody around to pick up all the newspapers in Washington to make sure that those stories did not get out, those six-week series that he did about the Brownstone. And where was the Brownstone? They referred to the Brownstone. The cover-up meisters, DeCamp and Gunderson, were saying that it was Larry Franklin at the embassy role over there. It wasn't. It was Barney Frank's place. Homosexual, out of the closet, known homosexual, former key committee member of Congress, Barney Frank, is where they were having the big voodoo parties at.
Terrible, terrible stuff.
Now, we've had a robbing and looting in this country. We only have 7 minutes. I think about probably six left. What do you want to touch on?
Well, What about the Obama administration itself? You see, I've become convinced that Obama has shown himself to be a war criminal by supporting these strikes in Syria, and he's not speaking out against it yet. So I have yet to see what's going to happen here. If Obama is signing executive orders to violate the Second Amendment, to me, that is absolutely shocking, convincing that he is not adhering to his oath to preserve and protect the Constitution, so that in my judgment at this point in time, he's an impeachable president. He probably was never qualified to become president. It appears that all of his birth certificate business was a fabrication. The Hawaiian birth certificate has many flaws. I did a whole show, 2 hours, with an expert as we went through it. It's very disconcerting Stu, that this man could have been put in the position to become president of the United States, not that he's the only hopelessly unqualified person. I mean, in this case, it was just so blatant because he wasn't a natural-born citizen.
Well, we have a new Secretary of Defense who's a patriot. We have a patriot, General Dempsey, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they are not going to support, they do not want to support Israel in some fabricated war. From what I understand, they really want to end these two wars. They really want to get rid of the neocons in our military and so forth, and they are quite aware that Homeland Security is behind the Boston bombing, along with the Newtown, along with the Israelis combined. They're aware of things. Now, I've been saying for the past week that it may come down to push to shove one of these days. And I've been saying for all former Marines, we're going to have to be the ones to kick ass. You're a former Marine, so am I. We're going to have to be the ones to clean up this frigid country, because I don't have any faith in the American people as far as actually picking up guns and handcuffs and going out and picking them up and charging them with treason and sedition. And I'm telling everybody to keep their eyes open and keep their eyes open very closely, because very soon, we may have to, as former military, all former military, to pick up your guns, pick up your handcuffs, and we may have to pick up these treasonous punks. Anybody, and you could tell who they are, anybody that signed the Patriot Act, anybody that signed the NDAA Act, anybody that signed against guns, ownership of guns, or are doing so on the state level, they have violated their oath of office. Therefore, you, under the Declaration of Independence, have the right to remove them, number one, because they violated their oath of office, and two, you have the right to arrest them for sedition against the Constitution. You, as the voting person, the citizen of your own state, and it can be on the federal level as well, as under citizen's arrest, and take them down to the local jail cell and with another 50 or 100 people, you're not going to have a problem with the cops. Believe me, there's enough cops on the street that know what's going on, and if you have 50 or 100 people in there and saying armed and locked and loaded, and you've got them in handcuffs, and you've got your charges written up on them, I guarantee you, somebody's going to spend the night in jail and have to face charges.
Well, what you're describing...
Yeah. Definitely, Stu. Someone's going to be facing charges. You better get your local sheriff in your hip pocket before you get the posse together.
I just add, Stu, that, you know, everything you're describing is perfectly legal, and that, therefore, you know, you're not advocating the violation of any laws, but rather adhering to them and fulfilling them in accordance with one citizen's responsibility under the Constitution.
That is true. But I also have a feel... I feel that there is going to be a showdown because Homeland Security is underneath the gun, and Homeland Security thinks that they're going to Janet Napolitano is a mentally bent lesbian out of the closet now, thanks to her underlayments and exposing that she promoted these people up, over career employees, and the lawsuit's pending on that. And she's just totally mentally bent, answers to Daddy Bush, and she will do anything for her paycheck in the New World Order. And she thinks she's going to destroy my Constitution and destroy my homeland. This thing's got something else coming. And that thing that's coming is called a prison cell for her and any other little Zionist Nazi regime that wants to continue these actions against American people, because it's coming down to a push to shove. Would you say that?
I would say that for those who want to know how the Boston Marathon bombing was fraudulently executed and staged in order to promote the idea of the militarization of the country, you want to check out the article entitled Man of the Year, Stella Tremblay, New Hampshire Legislator, and it's for Man of the Year. I nominate her because she's the only one who has the balls out there to call it like it is.
Fantastic. And how much time we got there, Thomas?
60 seconds.
Well,
60 seconds. Closing remarks.
Yeah,
Give us your website, Jim. Give us your show.
Well, all the archives, over 600 shows for The Real Deal, can be found at radiofetzer.blogspot.com. But my articles about JFK, 9/11, and a host of other issues can be found by going to Veterans Today, Jim Fetzer. You'll find all of them at your fingertips.
Fantastic, because you've
right,
done a
guys.
Lot of pieces on the JFK murder.
I got to wrap it up, guys. Stu.
Okay, thank
Mr.
you very
Fetzer,
much, Austin.
Again. You guys
thank you, Jim,
rock.
Very
thanks
much.
Thanks for listening to Gorilla Radio, everybody. Deuces. Gotta go.
Stu, that was something else.
Thanks, Jim. I'll call you back there in a minute.
Okay.